Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Yud Ches. Today's shiur begins five lines from the top, and I'm sure you notice a triangle and a number four to the side of the Gemara, which indicates that we're in the middle of a discussion. And just to briefly remind you, we're dealing with the topic of, is it mutter to be soimech, a mazik, on the border between two properties. So we continue, Toshma, quote from our Mishnah, Marchikim es azroim ves amachresha, ves mei raglai min hakoisel, shloishat vachim, the requirement of keeping plants and plowing and urine at a distance of three tfachim from the neighbor's wall. Taimo di koisel. The reason for distancing is because there is a wall, there is an element that is subject to damage right now. Ha like a koisel. If there wasn't anything on the border that would be subject to damage, somech, you can put the item, the damaging item, on the border. It's not going to damage anything right now. So that this would support the opinion that you're allowed to be soimech. Lo, not so. Do not conclude that. Ki leko koisel nami lo soimech. Even if there's no wall, you would not be allowed to be soimech. Velamai ko mashmon. So then what is the Mishnah telling me about a case where there is a wall? Ho ko mashmon. It's informing me de matunta koshe le koisel, that sources of dampness is injurious to walls. To shma v'yesorei chayim gimel min hashechev shehin daled min horechev. The necessity of keeping a grindstone three from the at a distance of three from the shechev, namely, the neighbor has a wall, and you have a grindstone. You must position your grindstone three from the lower part, which is four from the upper part, because the upper part of the grindstone is narrow, as we described in our previous shiur. Taimo di'ika koisel. The reason for distancing is because, once again, the neighbor has a wall there. Ha leka koisel. If the neighbor did not have a wall, somech, you could keep the grindstone or position it right up on the border. Lo. Do not conclude thusly. Ki leko koisel nami lo somech, even without the wall, you would not be allowed to be somech. Ve'elomai komash molon. So then what is being taught by featuring a case where there is a wall? Ha komash molon deteria koshe lekoisel. That vibration is injurious to a wall. So that if you're dealing with some other element that is a source of vibration, the same halacha would apply, the necessity of keeping it at a distance from an existing wall. Ta shma v'yesa tanur shloisha min hakalya shehein dalid min hasafa. The tanur must be kept at a distance of from the neighbor's wall, three from the kalya, which is the lower part. We saw a different explanations in the commentaries in the Meforshim concerning how to define these things, but for our purposes, the lower part of the tanur, or the base of the tanur, is wider, and it narrows as you go up, which is Shein Dalid Min Asafa. Taimo Di'ika Koisel. The reason it would seem that you have to keep the tanur at a distance is because the neighbor has a wall. Ha Leka Koisel. If there was no wall, so if you could put the tanur right up on the border. Lo, ki leka koisel nami lo somech, even without the wall, you would not be allowed to. Ela, mai ko mashmolon, ha ko mashmolon, de hevla koshe le koisel. By featuring the example of the tanur and the wall, so we come to understand that heat producing elements are likewise injurious to walls. But once again, not to conclude that in general one would be allowed to be somech. Ta shma lo yiftach adam chonus shel nachtoimim shel tzaboim tachas oitzur shchaviro. One is not allowed to open up a chanus shel nachtoimim. For our purposes, we'll simply translate that as a bakery. Nor a tzaboim, chanus of tzaboim, is a dyer's store where customers bring in material for dyeing, changing its color. When is one prohibited from opening up such establishments? When it's underneath an oitzer, An otzer is a storage facility, usually a storage where people keep their wheat or their grains. V'lo refes boker. Likewise, one should not open up a stall for keeping cows, for housing animals, underneath the otzer of the neighbor who is upstairs. Now, why are these restricted? Taimodika oitzer. Because the neighbor has a pre-existing oitzer, then the halacha says not to open up these facilities. Ha leka oitzer ovid. If there was someone had owned an aliyah, an upper story, but and there was nothing there, and there was no oitzer there, you could open up one of these establishments, and that would indicate that you could be soimech. The Gemara says, from here, we're not going to conclude a general principle that you're allowed to be soimech. Dira shiny, when you're dealing with aspects of life that are associated with dwelling, and these examples are part of that category of dira, the chanus and the refes. When it comes to things like that, we are more lax, we're more tolerant. And that's why and only because the neighbor has an oitzer is there this restriction. Daika nami, by careful reading, you can in fact see this. The Tonia law, there is a Tanaic source that expounds on this, that says, im hoisa refes boker kedemes leitzemuter. If the cow stall was there before the oitzer, then it is allowed. Once again, the reason for that being is that a cow stall is part of a person's general dwelling needs. We take a look at the Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. Dikotoni Allah Deahi, concerning the source that we read just before, it said, Im hoisa refes boker kedemes loitzer muter. With regard to the other distancing elements that we saw in the Mishnah, we spoke about grains and plowing and grindstones. Those, we didn't see this particular point that if they were there first, then it would be mutter. Only here, in these examples, in these specific examples, do we see that qualification. Shma mina hacha mishum de dira shayni. That shows us that over here, because of the dira aspect, it's different. And that's why we're more lax. Avol Enoch, but all the other examples, Av HaRishon Tzorach L'Archik. Even if, in the other examples, even if nothing was there, and the first one to be located at the border, since they are damaging elements, they would have to distance themselves. They would not be allowed to be soimech. We continue in the Gemara, Toshma, Lo Yita Odom, Ilon, Somach L'Sodeh, Elohim Kane, Hirchik Mimenu, Dalet Amos. One is not allowed to plant a tree next to someone else's field unless he maintains a distance of 4 Amos. V'toni Allah, and concerning that, it's taught, Dalet Amos, Shomru, Kide Avodah Sakerim. The 4 Amos that you would have to distance yourself from the that you would have to maintain as a distance is in order to allow for the avodah sakerim. That's the cultivation of the vineyard. Tosfos will point out the cultivation of trees, avodah ha'ilon, and that generates the necessity of not having your tree planted right up along the neighbor's field, because in order to cultivate the trees, you're going to have to plow around the trees to aerate the soil, cultivate the soil for the tree's benefit, and that's done through a plow, and the plow, in order to maneuver the plow, you would have to allow for 4 amos. Otherwise, if you're going to plant the tree right up along the guy's field, the neighbor's field, your plow is then going to be encroaching upon his property, and of course that would be prohibited. So we see in this source a reference made to distancing, and now the Gemara points out taima, the reason for the distancing of the tree is mishum kedei avodas hakerem, because of that specific consideration. Ha lav mishum kedei avodas hakerem. If that was not a consideration, Somech, you would be able to plant the tree right up along the border. Even though the tree has roots that would cause damage, that encroach upon the other guy's property. So we see from here that you would be, in general, you would be allowed to be Samech. Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi. Taimo Mishum Avodas HaKerem Shehu Maziko Biyodayim. If the neighbor has a field there, and I would plant my tree right up alongside his field, and then I take my plow to plow around the tree, I would be proactively, directly damaging his property. Ha'alav hachi, if that were not a consideration, samech, then if that wasn't a consideration, I'd be allowed to put the damaging factor right up along the border. V'afagav desoifesh yispashtu shrotav v'yaziku b'sodeh, even though in the course of time the tree roots will extend into his field, bein la'akev ha'machresha, bein l'chfir sabor, and my tree roots that eventually extend into his field could impede his ability to plow his field when he would want to do thusly. Right now, as we said, right now in the inferred case, there is no cultivated field. It's barren. But if we follow our inference that had there been no Avodas HaKerem consideration, which is characterized by direct damage because the guy has a field there, the neighbor has a field there, a cultivated field, if that were not the case, I'd be able to plant the tree right up on the border, even though the tree roots eventually will be a source of restriction for the neighbor. And as Rashi says, either it will thwart his ability to plow his eventual field. The plow has a blade that goes down into underneath the surface of the ground, and my tree roots will block it, will thwart it. Likewise, if he were to want to dig a pit, my tree roots will be there interfering with his eventual desire to dig a pit. But that doesn't seem to bother us. And from this, we want to conclude that you'd be allowed to be soimech. The Gemara rejects this. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the example of that we just saw in this source is speaking of a case, the mafsik tsunama. There is bedrock under the surface of the ground, and therefore there is no consideration of tree roots that would be encroaching on his upon his field. The Gemara continues, Toshma, Hoya Geder Beintayim, Ze Soimech Legeder Mikan, Ze Soimech Legeder Mikan. If there is a fence between two fields, so each neighbor could plant right up to the fence. Now, we want to conclude from here that you see from here that you can be Soimech. The Gemara rejects this as a source for legitimatizing being soimech, because hachanami betsunama. There here too, under the fence, there is bedrock, so that the planting that each one does on either side of the fence is not going to result in any encroachment on the neighbor's property through roots that extend into the properties. The bedrock will block it. The Gemara continues, though, with a question. If that's really the case, that there's tsunama, then keep reading the same source and see if we can really accept that answer. It says in the Sefer, if the roots of the plants extend into the neighbors, under the neighbor's field, the owner of the field has a right to chop away at roots till a depth of three tvachim, three handbreadths. That's that would be the length of his plow, so that he can chop away at the roots coming into his field, so as to prevent any thwarting of plowing activity. If this source was talking about a case of subsurface bedrock, my bo shoshin hosam, how could there be roots going from one property into the other? The Gemara says hachi kamar. The way to understand the source is as follows: the ilav tsunama. If there would have been no bedrock, the hoyu shosh of yotzin l'sir shachavero, and tree roots or plant roots were extending into the neighbor's field, ma mik shloisha tfachim kadesh liakev ha machresha. Now Rashi adds very, very importantly here. Rashi, the e lav tsunama, had there been no bedrock. Now don't forget, we're dealing with the topic: are you allowed to be soimech to the border or not? And we're right now in a thinking mode that from this source number 9, we are not to conclude that you're going to be soimech. So what's going on over here? You're saying here, if there's no bedrock and the tree and the roots are encroaching, doesn't that indicate that you were soimech? Yes, it does, but that doesn't mean you're allowed to. As Rashi says, v'ilav tzunam v'zeh noiteya shom shelo kedas, and you had planted there wrongfully. Why? Because you're not allowed to be soimech. And well, if you did anyway, well, mamik lu zeh, the neighbor has a right to dig underneath the surface of his field, so as to enable him to continue plowing. When the tree roots start to cause him damage. We continue in the Gemara with number 10. Toshma marchikin es ha'ilon minabor esrim v'chamesh amo. I am to plant a tree at a distance from my neighbor's pit, 25 amos. Now, what's the point here? We see that you cannot plant a tree near the neighbor's property, Taimo di Gabor, only because he has a pit there. If there was no pit, I would be able to plant a tree right up along the border. Lo, do not conclude thusly, ki lekabor nami lo somich, even without the pit there, you're not allowed to. V'ho kamash malon. The point of this source is to tell me, di ad chofei amo, azli shoshim mamaski labor. Tree roots have the potential of damaging pits up till a distance of 25 amas. That information has value in and of itself. But once again, not to conclude from this source that in general you would be allowed to be soimech. Ihochi emo seifa. Well, if that's the case, continue reading the seifa. It says, v'im ilon kodam lo yokutz. If the tree was there first, then there's no expectation of cutting it down. Well, v'i delo somech hechi mishkachas lo. If you're not allowed to be somech in the first place, then how can this even come up? How could it come up? How could a situation come up where I would need to be told that if the tree was there first, don't cut it down? What do you mean? The tree wasn't there to begin with, in the sense that it wasn't planted. If I'm not allowed to be soimech, so how could it be there in the first place? The Rashi on this says, "I hachi emo seifa im ha'ilon kodam lo yokutz ilo soimech hechi mishkachas lehu do ilon kodam." How could it be that the tree was there first if you're not allowed to put it there in the first place? V'i shelo kedin somach. And if you'll say the tree was at the border, but wrongfully, amai lo yokutz, then why would you not be allowed to cut it down? And yet the source says, if the tree was there first, you're not allowed to cut it down. Mali bor kodam dikotoni kotseitz, umayshno ilon kodam ditono lo yokutz. What difference would there be in the case where, if the pit was there first, then we know you're allowed to cut down the tree that was planted too close? So why there are you allowed to cut down the tree, and in a case where you planted the tree first in a shelo kadin fashion, in an illegal fashion, why then would you not be allowed to cut it down? The Gemara answers, Kid Omer Rav Popo Belokeach, as Rav Popo says later on. We'll see Rav Popo when we get to the Gemara on Omid Beis. See, he appears at the first, second line from the top. He explains that the case of the tree being there first is a case of bilokeach. Hochanami bilokeach. So too over here, we'll use that explanation. Now, what does that mean, bilokeach? I want to point out ahead of time that first, initially, we'll look at Rashi. That's what we're going to learn with the Rashi pshat right now. Later on in Mirtz Hashem, on Omid Beis, we're going to see an approach taken by the Tosfos that's quite different from what we're going to say right now. That is an approach that you'll see featured by the Rabbeinu Hananiel in the Tosfos. But in the meantime, Hachonami Bilokeach, Rashi says, Odom Shenota Ilon Besoch Sadeo. A person had one large field, and in the middle of his field, he planted a tree. So far, so good. V'acharkach mochar chatzi sodehu li'ish acher. And then he sold the second half of the field, leaving the tree in his own possession. Ubo halokeach v'chofar bor, and the purchaser came and dug a pit. Ein zeh tzorach lokutz ilon shenotoy b'rishuso. In a case like that, the owner who kept the half of his field with the tree, he does not have to cut down his tree. So, very simply, this source has nothing to do then with the issue of being soymech or not soymech, because it's talking about that unique case where the tree was planted in a field where there was no neighbor. Only later, the second half of the field was sold. Toshma, marchikin es hamashri min hayerek, ves hamakreshin min hapsolim, ves hacharil min hadvorim. I'd like to say ahead of time that this source from here, and then and the Gemara discussion till the bottom, will figure to be the central preoccupation of the bulk of the Gemara and the Tosfosin that we'll see on Omid Beis. So it's very important to become fluent in the Gemara right here in order to attempt to understand the material that we'll see on Mirtz Hashem on Omid Beis. So in the meantime, it says that you are to distance the mashre from yerek. Mashre is is water in which flax are set to soak until they're ready to be processed into linens, and that we'll call soaking pool is to be kept at a distance from the neighbor's yerek, from the neighbor's vegetables growing in his property. Kreshin is a type of vegetation. Rashi refers to it as karsi. Karsi is to be kept at a distance from the neighbor's bitsolim. Bitsolim are often translated as onions. And the third point, the third example, is one is to keep one's chardal. If a person is cultivating chardal, people like to translate. You find that in many translations as mustard, but it's not important for our purposes to offer literal translations, but to recognize simply that there is a plant called chardal that must be kept at a distance from the neighbor's bees. If the neighbor is raising bees, he's producing honey, he must keep, the first fellow must keep his chardal, neighbor one must keep his chardal at a distance from the neighbor, Mr. Two's bees. And Rashi says, "Vesachardal min advorim sheoichlim esachardal umechadeid es pihem veoichlis es devash shalahen." The nature of things is that the neighbor's bees will eat from the chardal, and that causes some kind of discomfort in the mouths of the bees. And in order to relieve themselves of this discomfort, they end up consuming the honey that the neighbor is trying to produce. Taimo deiko yerek. Once again, we infer that the whole reason for maintaining a distance is because there is something to be damaged. Ha leko yerek. If there was nothing in the immediate proximity that could be damaged. Some of you could put the source of damage right up on the border of the property. Lo, do not conclude thusly. Ki lech yerek nami lo somich. Even if there is no yerek, you would not be allowed to put the mashra there on the border. V'ho komash malon dehani koshu ahadodi. The goal of this source is to inform us that these items, the mashra, the kreshim, and the chardol, are a source of damage for yerek, betzalim, and devorim. If we're to accept that you're not allowed to be soymech anyway, meaning even if these the victim is not there, then well, let's see if we continue in the seifa, if we can make sense of things. Rabbi Yossi matir b'chardol. Rabbi Yossi allows in the case of chardol to be soymech. Mitnei sheyochel lomar lo, because the owner of the chardol can say, "At shata imer li harchik chardulcha min dvorai," till you tell me to keep my chardol away from your bees, harchik dvorcha min chardoloi. I want you to keep your bees away from my chardol. Sheboys vaoichlois legluge chardoloi, because your bees come and consume legluge chardoloi. Will hold off on a final translation on Liglugi. There is a discussion about that word that we will see in the Tosfos. The Gemara itself will deal with that as we go on to Amud Beis. Before we go further, let's take a look at Rashi. You notice we have a little brackets we skip initially. Harchek ato devorech min chardoli. That's the smooth reading. Now, but Rashi offers an explanation. So we read that again. Until you tell me to distance my chardol from your bees, she'al hamazik laharchek atzmo, on the assumption, on the grounds that the mazik, the source of damage, is to maintain a distance. So until you tell me to keep my chardol from your bees, assuming that the chardol is the source of damage, harchik ato devorach min chardloi, keep your bees away from my chardol, shafato nikro mazik. Bees are also considered a source of damage for my chardol. Now, we continue with the Gemara at the top of Amud Beis. Ve'i deloy somich, if at the outset you're not allowed to put a source of damage at the border, hechi mishkaches law, then how does the discussion that Rabbi Yossi is presenting, how does that even get off the ground? How does it get started? We should note that what the Gemara is saying here when it says Ve'i delo somech hechi mishkachas lo is basically saying that if you accept Abaye's approach that you're allowed to be somech, then this makes sense. In other words, Rabbi Yossi matir b'chardol. Rabbi Yossi says you can have the chardol on the border, and if the Devorim man comes with any claims, so then you have the counterclaims that Rabbi Yossi features. Now, we also would like to look at Rashi at the top. Ve'i lo somech inish hezik lemeitzer chavero afilu b'she'ein shom davar hanizok is lay the Rabbi Yossi. The Elu Shneim Mazikin Hain, if you don't hold that you're allowed to be Soymech, a source of damage, even when there is no victim in the vicinity, then hechi mishkachas le delismo chad minayu bereisha harei chaver makiv alav. How could one of the two parties be there first when the other party will prevent him, will say, hey, you can't be soymech? So if you take Abaye's approach that you're allowed to be soymech, so then we can understand what Rabbi Yossi is saying, that the charo man can put his charo there, and if the neighbor has any problems with that because the charo hurts his dvorim, so the charo man can say back, well, your dvorim injure or ruin my charo. So in brief, this brings into question, we'll say, Rava's position that you're not allowed to be somech. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa answers, Bilokeach, and we saw the Rashi on Omen Aleph, and we'll take a look at Rashi over here. Bilokeach, third line from the top. Achar shosu zeh mashre besof sudeo, o zora shom chagol. Someone had one piece of property, a large piece of property, and he put a mashra there, or he planted chardol there. And after he did that, mochar mechso sadeu liacher, he sold the other half of his field to someone else, valokeach zora shom yerek, yerek being the we'll say, the victim in the case of mashra, o hemid dvorim, or he set up bees, which represent the victim of the chardol. So in a case like that, so then obviously you can create a situation that would look like soymech, but it's not the issue over which Abaye and Rava were arguing. They were speaking about a case of two neighbors at the outset and the issue of putting a source of damage on the border when the neighbor didn't have anything yet there that could be damaged. Abaye saying you can be soymech, and Rava saying not. But when you feature a case of lokeach, that already is not the discussion or the point of disagreement between Abaye and Rava. The Gemara continues, Iba lokeach, my time of the Rabbanon. If the source in which we saw the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, the Machlokes Tanoim, was a case of lokeach, then what's the reasoning behind the Rabbanon? Why would the Rabbanon say that someone who had one piece of property and he put in the middle of his property a mashre and then sold the second half of the property, why would the owner of the mashre have to move it? He put it there berishus, he put it there quite legally. That's one problem. V'yoid, my time of the Rabbi Yossi. How are we to understand Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi argued in the case of the chardol. He didn't argue in the case of the mashre and yerek, and the case of the creation of Tzolom. He was quiet on those points. Well, if it's a case, if it's a case of lokeach, we said, why are the Rabbonon telling you that the mashre has to move? And a second question we have is, why would Rabbi Yossi say his point only regarding the chardol? Let him argue regarding the case of mashra and yerek as well, that just like in the chardol, he doesn't have to move. In mashra, the mashra doesn't have to move away from his position, and likewise the creation wouldn't have to move away from their position. Omar Ravina, Kosavri Rabbonon, the Rabbonon are of the opinion, Al Hamazik Laharchikes Atzmoy. Even though, as Rashi says, even though he put it there, Birishus, nevertheless, since right now, after he sold the property to a purchaser, he represents a position of being a mazik, he must move. So that is Ravina's explanation of the Rabbanon, why, even though it was done initially, legally, properly, he nevertheless has to move. Well, if that's the position of the Rabbanon, Michlal de Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Al Hanizak Laharchik Es Atzmo. Rabbi Yossi, who said that who argues with the Rabbanon, so we can infer then he holds that the victim is the one that has to move away. Namely, the Mazik doesn't have to move away. And well, that we can understand why the Chardol can remain where he is. However, Yala Nizak, if that be the case, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that the victim is the one that has to distance himself, Afilu Masha V'Arkanami, so he should have spoken up and say, in the case of the Mashra and Yarka, that the Yarka would have to move, not Marchikin as HaMashra. He should have spoken up and argued with the Rabbanan and say that the Mashra doesn't have to move. Just like he says the Charnel doesn't have to move, based on this suggestion that the Nizak is the one that has to move. The victim, not the source of damage. Elo, Lioilom, Rabbi Yossi, Nami, Alamazik, Svirole. So Rabbi Yossi, he holds, like the Tanakama, that the Mazik is the one that has to distance himself. V'hochi komalhu Rabbi Yossi the Rabbonan. And thusly, Rabbi Yossi is saying to the Rabbonan in the source we read, Tenach Masha V'yaka, granted, I agree with you in the case of Mashra versus the Erek, that the Mashra, who is the Mazik, he has to move. That's Marchikin as a Mashra min Erek, as we saw. Dehani Maski Hani Vani, Lo Maski Hani. The Mashra and the creation, they are a source of damage for Yerek and Betzolim. Vehani, the Yerek and Betzolim, are Lo Maski Hani. They don't hurt, they don't damage the Mashra and the creation. Elo Chardalu Dvorim Travayu Maski Adodi. But on the point that we saw Rabbi Yossi argues, it's this. This is the point. When it comes to Chardal and Dvorim, the Chardal is no greater a source of damage to the Dvorim than the Dvorim are to the Chardal. Namely, both damage one another. So, since they're on equal footing, we're not going to say that the Chardal is the Mazik and the Dvorim are the victim forcing the Chardal man to move. V'Rabbonan, and the Rabbonan's response to that is, Dvorim l'chardol, lo maskile. Dvorim are not a source of damage to the chardol. Ibabinsa, if you'll suggest that the Dvorim consume the seeds, binsa, the garin hazera, Rashi says, the seeds, lo mishkachasla, the bees won't find them. They're very, very small. Rashi adds on the top of Yud Tesom and Aleph Lo Mishkachas Le Rashi. There says Hadvora will not find it. Lefishu Tomun B'Sharbito. It's enveloped in a pod. So as far as the bees being a source of damage to the Chardol on the grounds that the Binsa would be affected, not so. And furthermore, E Betirpa, and if you'll say that the bees will affect the leaves, Hadar Pori, they regenerate. So the Rabbonan disagree with Rabbi Yossi in how to in the way in Rabbi Yossi's view of the Dvorim towards the Chardol. So up till now we've said according that Rabbi Yossi holds that Al Hamazik Laharchik es atzmo, and now we want to bring that point into question. V'sova Rabbi Yossi alamazik laharchik es atzmo, is that really so? V'otnan Rabbi Yossi oimer afo pishabor koydemes li'ilon lo yokutz shezeh choyfer besof shelo v'zenotea besof sheloi. This source, obviously, you can see Rabbi Yossi, and it features a pit and a tree. A pit, we can say, would potentially fall victim to the tree. The tree roots could penetrate the pit walls unless a sufficient distance is maintained. So Rabbi Yossi says here that even though a pit was dug before the tree, before the tree was planted, the tree being the mazik, so even though the pit was there first, and then the neighbor planted a tree, the tree is not to be cut down. Why? Each person does whatever he does in their own domain, to each his own, so to speak. You do your thing in your domain, I'll do my thing in my domain. That's what the source is saying. This guy dug his pit in his domain, and the neighbor then planted a tree in his own domain. Well, if that's the case, then it's quite clear that Rabbi Yossi is not of the opinion that the mazik has to keep a distance. Hello, Leoilom, Rabbi Yossi, al hanizak svirale, uledveim derabanan kamar lahu. Rabbi Yossi, in principle, holds that if someone feels that they may be victim of damage, it's their obligation, the victim's obligation, to maintain a distance. And Rabbi Yossi, in the Tanaic source, with regard to the Chardol and his response to the Chachomim, was Rabbi Yossi speaking to the Chachomim on their terms. In other words, Rabbi Yossi was not reflecting his own opinion. And how are we to understand matters? As follows. L'didi, as far as I am concerned, al hanizak l'harchik es atzmo. The victim is the one that has to draw away from the source of damage. V'afilu mashe v'yaka lo boy ruchuki. And as far as I am concerned, mashre near Yerek, the mashre does not have to be distanced. El lididhu, the amriso la mazik. But according to you, that says the mazik is the one that needs to distance himself, tenach mashre v'yaka, granted, the mashre would have to distance himself from the Yerek, dani maski hani v'hani lo maski hani. Mashre damages Yerek, Yerek does not damage mashre. El achardel udvorim, but regarding that, where you, the Rabbonan, view the Chardol as the clear mazik, and the Dvorim as clearly the victim, I disagree. Travayu maski adoti. I hold that there's mutually damage one another. And the Rabbonan, what do they respond? Like we saw before, Rabbonan Dvorim lechardol lo maski leib. As far as the Rabbonan concerned, Dvorim do not pose a threat to the Chardol. Iba binsa, if you think that they would affect the binsa, we continue at the top of daf yud tes omen aleph. Lo mishkachas le, the devorim will not find the binsa. We referred to Rashi earlier. He's at the top. He says the binsa is tomun b'shabito, is enveloped within the pods. And I b'tirpa, and if the victim of the bees would be the leaves of the chardol plant, hadapari, they regenerate. So the Rabbonon disagree with the outlook, the position that Rabbi Yossi takes with regard to the chardol. What we have just done was we went through in a rather rapid fashion the discussion between the explanation of the discussion between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonin, the Machlokas Tanoim. But Emir Tzashem, we will see later a very extensive, very detailed discussion in the Tosfos in how to approach the entire sugya. At this point, let us take a look. Let us go back now to the Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph and start the Tosfos. Dibur HaMasfil Detaria. This refers to the Gemara, 14 lines from the top, regarding the need for distancing a grindstone from the neighbor's wall. Detaria kosher l'koiso, afagav de l'kamon. Hodar bay mitaima the tiryot, even though later, namely on Daf Chof Amud Beis, 17 lines from the top of the Gemara over there. The Gemara, we'll say, reverses, retracts from this explanation of Tariyav, vibration, Umeforesh, Elo Mishum Kola, and explains that the damage that the grinder causes is the noise, kol being the sound, and that being something distinct from vibration. So even though the explanation given for distancing the grinder on Daf Chof Amud Beis is Mishum Kola, Mikol Makom Nokat Le Hocha, nevertheless the Gemara chose the initial explanation, that the vibration explanation, Mishum De Mikora Havaboy Lefrushi Taimo Mishum Tari, because that was the initial thinking, the first thinking. So that our Gemara, when it says Tari, doesn't represent the Maskona, the final point, but it's rather the initial thinking of what the source of grinder damage is to walls. L'sforim delo garsi ella. In the Gemara's version, there are different versions of the Gemara text of the Gemara there on Chof Amud Beis that don't have the word ella. Ella is a very key word in Gemara flow, in Gemara development. It represents a transition, and even more than that, a rejection and transition to a new approach. In the Gemaras that don't have the word Ella after citing Tirya and then moving on to Kala, Osi Shapir Hacha, then our Gemara over here works out well. Dilahi Girsa, according to that version where the word Ella is absent between those two explanations, the result is that there isn't a transition from one explanation to another, but rather Tirya Vakola Cha Taimahu. Vibration and sound are essentially one in the same. And with that, then we don't have to say that the Gemara over here, on Daf Yud Ches, is only according to an initial way of thinking, a Havamina, but rather the Gemara over here is in line with the final thinking regarding the damage that a grinder can cause to a wall. We continue now with the next thesis, Dibra Masil, Lo. The Tosis here is referring to the Gemara 20 lines from the top. Lo yiftach odom chonus shel nachtoimim. The Tanaic source that we saw referred to a case where there was an upper story that there was an oitzer, and if that be the case, then one is not to open up a bakery underneath. Before we continue in the Tosis itself, we have some markings, and on the side we have a taktzir / mivne summary and structural note. The diamond highlights machlokes Rashi v'Rabbeinu Tam b'ma'o hezek shel chanus shel nachtoimim mitachas loitzer yayin. What is the nature of the damage of a bakery located underneath a wine storage area? And the possibilities that will be presented here, you'll see Oshan, that's what Rashi speaks about, smoke, and the Rabbeinu Tam speaks about Hevel, heat. Now the Tosfos. Pirush HaKuntres, regarding the location of the bakery under the Otzer, Mishum she'oshan kosher la'otzer. The smoke is a source of damage to the Otzer. Because the Rabbeinu Tam, the Lekaman Omar, Rabbeinu Tam says that there on later on the Chof Amud Beis, at the end of the Mishnah over there, it says, B'yayin hetiru, they allowed opening a Chanas Shel Nachtomim under an oitzer of wine. Shemashbichoi, the bakery under a wine oitzer is beneficial to the wine. The Oshan Vadai Mazik Liayin, smoke certainly would be a source of damage to wine. Toyayin Mushan Posulin Isochim. We know from the rules regarding wine libations in the Beis HaMikdash that smoked wine is unfit for use on the Mizbeach, working with the, I guess, reasonable assumption that the wine for the Mizbeach would be choice quality wine. And smoked wine being unfit for Nesachim, for the Beis HaMikdash wine offerings, would be indicative of the negative effect that wine, that smoke has. So if that being the case, that smoke is injurious to wine, why would the Mishnah on Chof, at the end of the Mishnah on Chof Amud Bey, say that a bakery under wine is beneficial to the wine? Elonir le Rabbeinu Tam de Hezek Oshon Leka. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's that smoke as a source of damage is simply non-existent, and that can be that's clear from the fact that you can have the nachtomim, the chanas nachtomim under all oitzers. Kevon diko sham tikra umaziva lo yikone sham he'oshon. Since there is tikra and maziva, there are ceiling beams and plaster that separate the bakery underneath from the oitzer above. Elotaimo shahevel mazik es oitzer. The problem of a chanas shel nachtomim is that it generates heat. Bakery ovens generate heat, and that is mazik the oitzer. Avol es hayayin mashbiach. But as far as an oitzer of wine, the heat is beneficial. The Garsinon Lekamon on Dav Chof Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, the Girsa reads, Omar Rav Yosef, V'hai Didon, our wine, Afilu Shroga Kashile, even a candle is injurious. Klomar, Hevla de Shroga, the heat generated from a candle. For lo garsinon, and do not have, as part of the girsa regarding Rav Yosef and the candle, do not have as the girsa kutra de shruga, the smoke generated by the shruga. As we already explained, that the smoke doesn't pose a problem because you have the tikra and maziva. It might be interesting to note that in our girsa of the Gemaras, over there on Dav Chof Amud Beis, we in fact have the girsa of Kutra. But Tosis nevertheless suggests not to adopt that girsa. We continue now with the Tosis Dira Maschil Ha. This is a reference to the Gemara, 22 lines from the top. Ha Leka Oitzer Ovid. If there was no Oitzer, then you could be Soimech. And the Gemara then said, from that you are not to conclude that in general you're allowed to be soimech, because dira shiny. Because matters that are related to a person's dwelling, that's different. Havi motzi lishneye huadin ki leka lo soimech. The Gemara could have answered that the same would apply if there is no otsar, that you're not allowed to be samech. Veho komash malon, and the reason that the source featured cases involving the otsar, dehevlo dahani kashila otsar. the point of the source was to tell me that the heat produced by these things is injurious to an otsar. So, as far as we're concerned, the Gemara was rejecting the attempt to demonstrate that in general you're allowed to be soymech. The Gemara gave as its answer, you can't make a general rule about being soymech because diro shiny. The approach suggested by Tosis was, you can't make a general rule that you're allowed to be soymech. Even if the Otzer wasn't there, you still would not be allowed to be Samech. And the reason that the Otzer case was featured was simply to show the relationship between the heat and its effect on an Otzer. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Deika Nami. This is a reference to the Gemara, 23 lines from the top. Where the Gemara says that by a careful reading and by introducing the additional Tanaic information, we can bolster our answer that Dira Shiny regarding the Refes Bokar and the Chanes Shel Nachtoimim. If there was no Otzer, we would allow you to have those things underneath the neighbor's upper story. Provided, once again, just to repeat, provided there was no otsar. So the Tosfos says, Dekonami, Dekotoni, Im Hoysa Refes Bokor, Koidemes, Lo Otsar Muter. Before we continue further, we have a taktzir for this Tosfos on the side, where we've written, Tosfos Makshe, Tosfos asks, Ech bor la Gemara, how is it so clear to the Gemara, Meha de Tani, from that which it said in the Tanaic source, Im Hoysa, Refes Bokor, Kaidemes, Leoitzer, Mutter, it would have been Mutter to be Saimech, Velo, Hevia, Dugma, Acheres. From the fact that this example was cited, if the Refes Bokor was there first, and it didn't bring some additional or different example, Shedira Shaini. And based on this, we should conclude that Dira Shaini Hare, Efshir Shatam Shenokta Hadug Moshel Refes Bokor, it could be that the reason that the Gemara cited that example of Refes Bokor, Yikadei Lalame, Chidush Alibo de Rabbi Yossi, to tell us a Chidush according to Rabbi Yossi, Velo, La Fuke Shar Mazikin She'enom Dira, and not to necessarily exclude other Mazikim that are not Dira related. And the result would be, if you accept this approach, if you follow this question to the end, the result would be that even non-Dira type Mazikin you would be allowed to be Samech. Now, we go back to the Tosfos text. Ubekulu harchokes de masnisin lo toni hachi. We saw this in the Rashi. With regard to all of the other harchokes that were of keeping the distance of sources of damage mentioned in the Mishnah, this wasn't taught, that namely, if the mazik was there first, that it would be mutter. Then it would be mutter to be soymech. V'havei le lashminen bishar, meaning if we would not say dira shiny, if the dira factor was a non-issue, then it should have taught that. In all the other cases, all the other sources of damage, if the victim wasn't there, you would be allowed to put the source of damage at the border. The kol shekein bedira, and all the more so, a mazik that's considered dira related, you would be allowed to have that at the border. And so, from the fact that the Mishnah didn't teach the that point that if the mazik was there first, we understand why the Gemara was able to conclude that Dira Shiny. And Memela, there's no Raya that in general one is Mutter allowed to be Soymech. That is essentially the basis of the Gemara's conclusion and, let's say, rejection of an attempt to say you're allowed to be Soymech. So we'll just repeat that basically only because it's the Refes Boker, Chanush Shel Nachtoimim, represented examples of Dira, then you're allowed to be Soymech. But not in any other case of a source of damage. For if, in general, you would be allowed to be Soymech, so then that point of if the Mazik was there first would have been taught using one of the other examples, and we would have said, Kol Shekeinin, a Dira type Mazik. And now Tosfos raises his question. Now notice it's a long question. V'teima d'li oilam b'shar ha'chokes nami mutter l'smoich. I could tell you that in general you with regard to all other kinds of sources of damage, non-dira sources of damage, you would be allowed to be soymech. V'ha denakte hacha, and that which that the Gemara cited as its example regarding the refes boker, that if it was there first, then it's okay. Not because the refes boker, in other words, the Gemara didn't teach the case of refes boker because dira shiny, but it taught the case of refes boker to tell me Lashmin and Rabusa, to tell me a chidish, the afagav, the have giri delay. Even though it represents a type of damage that's, we've seen this expression in the past. Giri delay means it's as if he's shooting arrows, meaning it's a direct, immediate force, source of damage. Even though the refes boker represents giri delay, im hoisa kedemes lioitzar, if the refes was there first, muter the hashta have chidush afilu l'Reb Yosi. It would be the refes boker would being there first would be allowed to continue. This is a chidush even according to Reb Yosi, namely, even though Reb Yosi holds that a mazik, in general, a mazik doesn't have to distance himself. When it comes to giri delay, when the mazik is, we'll say, a proactive source of damage, Reb Yosi is moide that a mazik like that must move. That is true if the Nizak was there first. Just to repeat, Reb Yosi holds that a Mazik doesn't have to distance himself even if the Nizak was there first. However, in a case of Giri delay, if the victim was there first, Reb Yosi concedes that the Mazik has to move. However, if the mazik was there first, even though he is a type of giri delay, he could be soymech. V'i ashmi'inin b'shar, had the Gemara given as an example other mazikin, that if the other kinds of mazikin were there first, they don't have to move. Lo havi chidush el rabbonon. That would have represented the chiddush only according to the Rabbanan. Avalu Reb Yosi, the kosovar al hanizak laharchik lo havi shum chiddush. According to Reb Yosi, I wouldn't have had any. There would be no chiddush value within Reb Yosi, who in general holds that the nizak is the one that has to distance himself. So by so that and the Tosis therefore leaves you off with this question, namely that the citation of Refes Bokar is not clear proof that Dirosh Shaini, but rather the citation of Refes Bokar was used to bring out a chiddush even as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned. We continue with the next tesis. We're going to call this tesis Deka number 2, because obviously the tesis just before this was Deka number 1, was Saint Dibur HaMaschil, Deka Nami Dekatoni, v'chulei. Just to remind ourselves, the entire sugya was focused on the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye holding that you're allowed to be soimech and to place a source of damage right at the border with your neighbor, and Rava saying that you cannot be soimech. Now Tosfos says Abaye lo kashyo hai deka. When learning the Gemara, one might have gotten the impression that only because you have a dira consideration, you're allowed to be soimech. But if it was a non-dira consideration, you would not be allowed, and that would be a kashan abaye. Tosfos is saying this is not a kashan abaye. The lo mashmale shie chidush b'sha'ar tfei mi bedira. As far as Abaye is concerned, he doesn't see that there is a chiddush, a unique revelation in other mazikin more than dira type mazikin, but rather just like by the case of dira type of mazik, one is mutter be soimech, so to another kinds of mazikin, it is mutter to be soimech. That's as far as how Abaye would deal with this Gemara. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur Maslu of Itani. Correction. We continue with the Tosfos Dimasal Ve'im. This is referring to the Gemara, 23 lines from the top. Vim hoisa refes bokar koidemes la'oitzer mutter. Had the refes bokar been there first, so then it's okay for it to remain, even if later the owner of the upper story decides to put in an oitzer. Vuadin chanus shel nachtoimim v'shel tzaboyim. The same would apply to the earlier examples in the Tanaic source, the bakery and the dyer shop. The chanuminayu nokat, and the Gemara was simply citing one of the examples, namely the case of Refes Bokar, but not to, one should not think that there's something exclusively unique to Refes Bokar over the other examples, but the rule of Dira Shaini includes all these examples that are, say, Dira related. We continue with the next thesis, Dibur Maschil V'Toni. This refers to the Gemara, 26 lines from the top. V'Toni Allah, regarding the halacha of one who wants to plant a tree near someone's field, he has to move in from the border for Amos. Toni Allah, Dalet Amos, Shomru Kidei Avoidas Akerem. Have Lei, Lamentat Kidei Avoidas Ho Elon. Notice the emphasis on the word Elon as opposed to Kerem. Kerem is a vineyard. Elon is a reference to other fruit producing trees. After all, the beginning of the source was that Lo Yita Odom Elon Somoch L'Sode Chavero. So the four Amma distancing would be more appropriately related to the case of Elon. That's what you're told to distance. So why did the Gemara use the example, cite the case of Avodas HaKerem? Ella Nokar Avodas HaKerem Lefisha Niskar Loshen Zeb and Maseches Kilayim Gabi Kerem Shitzorach Harchoka Dalet Amos. Only because we'll call this a borrowed Loshen, only because we find in Maseches Kilayim the necessity of distancing a Kerem, a vineyard, from someone's grain field. Once again, we saw that Lashon in Maseches Kilayim, so the Gemara uses that Lashon over here. But technically speaking, it would have been more accurate to say that we keep a distance of Formas Kedei Avodas Ho'ilon. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Taima. This is referring to the Gemara, 27 lines from the top. Taima, Gemara here was pointing out that the only reason that distance was necessary in the case of that we just mentioned was Mishum Avodas HaKerem. But if that wasn't a consideration, if there wasn't anything to be damaged, then you could put the source of damage right up to the border. Balav hai diyuka motzi lemifrach bepshitus. Without this dupe, without the inference that we just made, we could have questioned shitas rova who asers lismoich. This bepshitus, in simple terms, desagi baharchokas arba amos, that we see that the distancing of the tree from the border, four amos is enough. The eoser lismoch, if as Rava holds, there is a prohibition of being soimech. The tree planting would have had to be at a distance of 25 amas. What's the damage a tree poses? And we've seen this we saw this in the Gemara earlier. A tree's roots extend and can penetrate the neighbor's pit walls. And if there was If Rava's approach is correct, that there's an Isser of being Samech, then you would have had to maintain a distance of 25 Amos, Kidisnan Likamon Shemachikin Oso Ilon Minabor, as the Mishnah says on Daf Chof Hey, that you have to keep your tree at a distance from the neighbor's pit of 25 Amos. The fact that we're taught over here that all you need is to keep a distance of 4 Amos, that in and of itself, without making the diuk of taima mishum avodas hakerem, the mere fact that it says keep a distance of 4 amas itself shows me that in principle you're allowed to be soimech. Rather, the Gemara found it more beneficial for in making the inference that, namely, that without the consideration of avodas hakerem, you could have put the tree right up at the border. Showing me that if the neighbor did not have a field at the border, you could have put the tree right up to the border, namely, even 4 amos would not have had to been maintained as a distance. We continue now with the next tesis, Dibur HaMaschil de Mafsik. This is a reference to the Gemara, 23 lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says that the following is the Gemara said that the reason that you would have been allowed to be Samech is the Mafsik Tsunema, because under the border between the two fields is bedrock, and the tree under those circumstances doesn't represent a Mazik to begin with. The tree roots wouldn't have gone to the other side. V'im toimar amai tzorech dalet amos. Why do you require a distancing of four amas? If you're dealing with a case of tsunama, pshita, shechutz l'tsunama lo yachrosh, shelo yoil klum li'ilon, if you have a, I say that the border between the two fields is bedrock, so what do you need to have four amos around the trees? The area on the, we'll say on the outside of the tree that's let's see, that would have been planted on the border, you wouldn't plow that anyway. There's bedrock at that point. The Yesh Lomar. So if the Tosis answers, why do I still need to have four amos, even though at that point there's bedrock? Kishiyachrosh ad hatsunama, v'yirtzalahafich hamachresha litzad acher. When you want to plow around the tree up till the bedrock, and you want to then turn the machresha, the plow, around to another side, hamachresha yikones l'sode chavero. Your plow will be entering the neighbor's field. So that even though you don't have a plowing need at that point, you nevertheless need to keep the tree four amas away from the border so as to enable you to maneuver the plow when you want to change its direction without your plow encroaching on the neighbor's property. So the four amas isn't just a plowing consideration, but it's a maneuvering distance that is necessary to be maintained. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Hoyu. This is a reference to the Gemara 20 lines from the bottom. Hoyu Shroshav Yoitzin V'chulei. The Gemara had said that if there was no tsunama and the tree roots were entering the neighbor's field, assuming that the person had planted the tree on the border, we suggested shelo kadin. That explanation is what we saw in Rashi, but for the purpose of learning the Tosis, we have to go back one step. Assume we don't know that explanation yet. And v'im tomar heich somach, how could he have planted the tree right up on the border? If you're going to conclude, as the Gemara was saying, that in general you cannot say you're allowed to be soymech, how then was he soymech? Inshallah birshus. If you're going to say that he did it improperly, illegally, him came yakutz. If that be the case, then the tree should be cut down. Vitzorech, and here we have the first of two approaches. Vitzorech leukuma leukmi belokeach. We have to say that in order to explain the presence of the tree at the border, it was a case of lokeach. We saw lokeach featured by Rav Papa on Amud Beis. We also made reference to it earlier, where a person had a field belonging to himself exclusively, and he planted a tree in the middle of the field, and then sold the other half of the field. So the tree was located now post facto on the new border. And in a case like that, so then the rule of the Gemara applies, that if the roots were entering now the purchaser's section, so the purchaser has a right to dig to a depth of 3 tefachim, clearing away the roots at that particular depth. Ulritzva ein nire lahamid balokeach. The Ritzva disagrees with this approach and says, well, you don't have to set this up as a case involving lokeach. In the fact that the Gemara didn't say so explicitly, as the Gemara does say a little bit later. You'll notice just a few lines further down, the Gemara says so explicitly in the case of the Harchok of the Ilan from the Bor. So, as far as the Ritzva is concerned, the Lokeach explanation is not to be adopted. Elanira demairi besomach shelo birshus. Rather, like Rashi said, he planted the tree at the border illegally. Dieno kotzeitz ho'ilon ela b'nesinas domim. That in a case like that, the tree would be cut down provided the neighbor compensates the owner of the tree. And at this point in the Gemara, it didn't want to elaborate and inform us of all those details. We continue now with Tesis Diwa Masel, Hocha Nami Bolokeach, a reference to the Gemara 9 lines from the bottom. Just to review the Gemara briefly. We were discussing the need for distancing a tree from the neighbor's pit, 25 amos, and we tried to conclude from that the only reason for distancing is because there is a pit that could be damaged. If there was no pit, then the tree could be placed right up to the border. The Gemara then said, no, you cannot conclude from that you're allowed to be soimech. Even if there's no pit there, you would not be allowed to be somech. The case involving presence of pit was to tell me that tree roots damage up till a distance of 25 amos. But once again, in general, you're not allowed to be somech. Then the Gemara said, well, how do you deal with the Seifa, where it says if the tree was there first, then it is not to be cut down? So that would seem to indicate that the tree was there first on the border. You were soimech. Because if you were not soimech, then what's the reason for teaching that if the tree was there first, it need not be cut down? Obviously, it wasn't in a position to do any damage to begin with. So the Gemara at that point said, based on Rav Papa Belokeach, Hachinami Belokeach. Now, Tosfos, Pirush HaKuntres. The Rashi explained in Dibur HaMasel of the Rashi of Hochanami, She'ilon biyad moicher. Person had a field exclusively his own. In the middle of the field, he planted a tree and then sold the other half of the field, keeping the tree for himself. That's the ilon biyad moicher. The seller kept the tree half of the field. V'ein nira l'ri bar Mordechai, din kein, the ri does not accept that approach, because if that were the case, that the tree was maintained or was retained by the seller, havi lei l'meimar, then the Gemara should have said b'moicher, instead of saying lokeach, that the case involves lokeach. It says they should have said that the case of the tree that was there first was b'mocher, namely that the seller kept the tree. Ela nira lo lefarish shil ilon biyad lokeach. Rather, it's according to the Rivam, the half of the field that was sold was the part of a field that included the tree. And that the lokeach, if the question that would bother you, that bothered the Gemara, how could the tree be at the border? So the answer is that it was planted in the middle of a field, and half of the field, including the tree, was sold to a purchaser. Ulishnei hapirushim elu ein lahakshois. According to both of these explanations, the Rashi and the Rivam, don't ask my irya shel ilam kodam. Why speak about a case of the tree being there first? Afilu kodam bor nami, even if the pit was there first. Kagon shodam echad osa habor. Imagine someone had dug in his property, he had a field, and he dug in his field a pit. V'achakach nota ha'ilon, and then planted the tree. Notice the order: first pit and then tree. Umochar habor lepirsha kuntris o ilon lepi lefi ri ba bread b'mordechai, and then that exclusive owner sold. And according to Rashi, he would have sold the pit, keeping the tree for himself, as Rashi explained, or he sold the part of the field with the tree, keeping the part with the pit for himself. In those cases, lo yokuts, there's no cutting down of the tree. And notice, in the scenario we're painting here, the pit was there first, but still, you wouldn't cut down the tree. Share beheter ason. It was everything in that case was done with beheter, but permission, meaning it was exclusively owned by one person. The bechi hai gavna, in a case like that, you wouldn't have referred to it anyway by saying pit there first. In that case, anyway, ilon kodam karina bay. We still would have referred to it as tree there first. What do we mean by that? When in fact, in reality, the tree was planted second, because the shekotmo netias ha'ilon li'ur bal habor. The tree's presence was there before the complaint would have come from the owner of the pit. The iur eino bo elo al yedei mechiras bor o mechiras o ilon. The complaint that eventually arises is only because of the sale. We said the property was sold, half of the property was sold, and depending on the Rashi or the Rivam, the complaint is going to come from the Baal Habor, from the one who owns the bor, who feels threatened by the tree. However, the tree was there before, that's Ilon Kodam, and that's what the Gemara means when it says V'in Ilon Kodam, if the tree was there before any complaint arose. So then, as the Gemara says, the tree is not to be cut down. Just to read the last few words again, the Bechiai Gavno, Ilon Kodam Karina Be, Shekodmo Netias O Ilon Liur Bal Habor. The Ur Inobo Ela Yede Mechiras Bor Mechiras Ilon. So that, as Tosfos said, don't ask as a question, why does it speak about a tree being there first? Even if the bor was there first, still there would be no cutting down. So Tosfos answers and explains why you're not going to ask that question is because even in that case where the bor was made before the person planted the tree, nevertheless, the tree is there before the complaint was issued by the owner of the pit as a result of the sale. Avol lepirush Rabbeinu Chananel. Now you notice we're changing the gear, so this is based on the Rashash. Says you should read here pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rabbeinu Chananel has a different take on this entire sugya. Avol pirush Rabbeinu Chananel shepirish the bilokeach, the expression that we saw in the Gemara kedom rapapa bilokeach, that word bilokeach is not a reference to a man selling half of his field, as we have been learning up till now. That was Rashi's approach. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, what does the case of Bilokeach refer to? Shelokha Me'odom Echod Esho Ilon. It's a reference to someone who bought a tree from someone who sold the tree. V'toyanin la lokeach. And we, the court, intervenes on behalf of the purchaser. What does that mean? That the court would say, the guy that purchased the tree, he purchased it from a seller who had bought the rights from the neighboring field owner to plant a tree over there on the border. That's toanin lokech. We, the court, would offer a defense, explanations of defense on behalf of the purchaser. And in that case, so the purchaser would be able to maintain his tree, because we're assuming the history behind that tree was such that it was planted after having received permission, an agreement between the seller of the tree and the owner of the neighboring field, that the owner of the neighboring field gave rights to this tree seller to plant the tree over there, and the purchaser who bought the tree bought such a tree. So according to the Rabbeinu Hananel's approach to Lokech, as we just explained, Koshe Luri, my Irya Elon Kodam, why does the Gemara speak about if the tree was there first? Afilu Kodam Bor Nami, even if the pit had been there first, there was an agreement that the tree would be allowed to be planted, as we explained. So why does the Gemara emphasize if the tree was there first? V'yoid kevon dehichzik be'ilon shalosh shonim ayri. Furthermore, since the tree was there for 3 years, the becheskas gimel shonim toanim lalukech, when you introduce the concept of toanim, as the Rabbeinu Hananel said, that is a concept that arises after someone was in possession of something for 3 years. So if you're talking about a case of a tree that was owned for 3 years by a particular individual, lukmonami below lokeach, you could have explained the case. Once again, if you accept the Rabbeinu Hananel's approach, you could have explained the Gemara even without introducing the idea of a purchaser. Ubechazoka sheishimotaina. And rather, you're dealing with someone who is the owner of the tree, claiming, I have had this tree for 3 years and I bought it from you. And as a result of that, I have a right to keep, to maintain the tree. Just to refine this very last point, where Tosfos says Luknami below Lokev, in contrast to the explanation that the Rabbeinu Hananel gave, namely that there was someone who had bought the tree from a moicher, from a seller who had bought the rights to plant the tree, namely someone, the seller of the tree sold it to a lokeach, who we explained had bought the tree from a seller who in turn had bought the rights to plant the tree. Once you introduce the idea of toanin, you don't have to come on to a seller selling to a buyer, but rather the original owner of the tree himself claims, after having been there for 3 years, I bought this tree from the owner of the pit, with the understanding, with the rights to maintain the tree, and based on that, it need not be cut down. And that's what we call a chazaka, sheishimotaina, a chazaka being presence and use of it for 3 years, with the taina, with the explanation that he had bought it from the, I bought this tree from the owner of the pit and have been using it for 3 years. We continue with the next Tosfos. I want to point out that the next Tosfos, though it's printed on Amud Beis, it really belongs to the Gemara over here of Amud Aleph. Divra Maschil Lig Luge Chardal. So that even though, just repeat, it's even though it appears on Amud Beis, it belongs, it's shaykh to the Gemara, the last line of the Gemara on Amud Aleph. This came up in the discussion between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon, where Rabbi Yossi says that the Chardal is itself victim of the bees. Until you tell me to move my Chardal because it's moving your bees, I want you to move your bees because they are ruining my Chardal. In what sense? That they come and they consume the Ligluge Chardal. The Lashon of the Gemara was Harchik Dvorcha Min Chardaloi Sheboys Va'oichlis Ligluge Chardaloi. Tosfos says, Pirush Akuntris Prochim. Ligluge refers to the blossoms. Uva Oruch Piresh Garin. And the Oruch explains that Ligluge is a reference to the seeds. Vitravayu Einira Lari. Both of these explanations are not appealing to the Ri. The Ha Kamri Rabbonon, the Rabbonon had said in their Machlokas with Rav Yossi, Dvorim L'Chardol Lo Mazgi. The Dvorim don't damage Chardol. Iba Binsa V'chulei, Iba Tirpa V'chulei. If it's the Binsa, they don't find the Binsa, and if it's the Tirpa, the leaves regenerate. Mashma. From the way the Rabbonon reacted to Reb Yossi, Reb Yossi says, your bees are ruining my Ligluge Chardol. The Rabbonon said, well, what do you mean by that? If it's the Binsa, well, then it's this and this. If it's the Pirzer, but then it means this and this. Mashma de lo Pirush Reb Yossi Bidvarov, Mahein Mazikin. It would appear then that when Reb Yossi spoke, he didn't explain in detail what the bees were damaging. Ulakach hoyu mistapkin iba binsa v'chule, etc. Iba binsa, iba tirpa. And as a result of Rabbi Yossi being, we'll say, vague, when Rabbi Yossi said they're ruining the ligluge, he was in effect vague and didn't explain himself, which gave rise to the Rabbonon suggesting different possibilities. So what is bothering the Ri is how can whether it be Rashi or the Oruch have such a clear, and I say such a specific definition of Liglugi, when Rabbi Yossi himself wasn't clear, he spoke in, we'll say, in general terms. Venira Lari de Liglugi heim anofim. Liglugi is a reference to the branches of the Chardal plant. Vahashdalo Pirush Reb Yossi Ma Heim Mazikos. And with this explanation, we understand that Reb Yossi was in fact not specific. All that Reb Yossi says is they come and they ruin the branches of the Chardal, but the branches includes a lot of different elements, like we saw, the leaves, the seeds, or what have you. So Reb Yossi spoke about Ligluge, meaning branches, Anofim. And Lekach Omru LeRabbanan, and because Reb Yossi was lo piresh, was not specific, the Rabbanan focused their response to Reb Yossi, be specific. If your intent is ibabin, so if your intent is the seeds, well, they're not going to find them because they're in pods. Well, at this point, then, I understand that Ligluge itself cannot be, well, like the Aruch said, a reference to the seeds. Rabbi Yossi himself didn't say that. He said Ligluge. He wasn't referring to the seeds. And the Rabbonin were trying to clarify, what do you mean? V'im toimar mikol mokom harehein mazikin l'chardol sheyochlu haprochim. You might say that even so, they come in, the bees come and ruin the prochim, we'll say the blossoms. That was, by the way, the what Rashi had suggested as what Ligluge might mean. But here we're trying to understand what's the position taken by the Rabbonan. How can the Rabbonan say that the bees are not a source of damage? Do they not, in fact, ruin the prochim? V'yesh lomar shehaprochim einon ki'ima'at. The prochim are there for a very, they're very little. Ki'ima'at means appears from the context of Tosfos for a very short while. U'b'yoyim o'yoyimayim shiyamdu ein yichol lahazik. And for the day or two that they're present, it's not reasonable to assume that the bees would be a source of damage to that. And hence, the Rabbonin are of their opinion that the bees, whatever they do, they don't ruin the seeds. And as far as the prochim, that's not something that one has to take into consideration, being that they're there for a very short amount of time. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, V'i. I think it's only right for me to offer a type of introductory disclaimer. You notice that the Tosfos covers a large portion of the page. What you see as three Tosfosin, the Bach points out, really is one long Tosfos. At this point, we're also beginning what is known in the yeshivas as the Sugi of Chardol. Even though I know we read the Gemara, Machlokes Rabbonin and Rabbi Yossi, but as far as the details, the nitty gritty details, we didn't get into that at all. I made reference to a disclaimer, and that is because, though we try to be as clear as possible and hope that all of our listeners are gaining a relatively clear understanding of the Tosfos, at this point I'm not sure that I'll be able to rise to the occasion and give as clear an explanation as I ordinarily would like to provide. That being said, just as a partial words of comfort, there is a highly recommended summation or presentation. It's not exactly short, but in the Maharam. By all means, when finishing the sukkah here with the Tosfos, by all means, each one is highly encouraged to learn the Maharam. And upon learning the Maharam, come away with a relatively good feeling about the sugya. Now, so as far as the I mentioned the layout is concerned, you have what appear as three Tosfosin, but the Bach says there in effect, and Bach in the Ois Gimel says they're one, it's like one long Tosfos. And another important point is that the last, what appears as the last Tosfos on the page, V'somer Rabbi Yossi, we are going to actually learn that before the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Michlal D'Savar. All of this is based on the suggestion found in the Bach Ois Gimel. Now we turn to the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil V'i, referring to the Gemara on the first line of Omid Beis. V'i lo somich hechi mishkachas lo. If there was no, If as Rava was learning that you are not allowed to be soymech, a source of damage up to the border, so then where does the discussion or the point that Rabbi Yossi is making, where does it even get started? If you learn like Abaye that you're allowed to be soymech, so then we can say that one of these two parties, you have the Chardal and the Dvorim, so one put their item at the border, and that gave rise to what followed in the argument between the two parties, the two neighbors. But if you are going to learn like Rava that there was no source of damage allowed to be on the border in the first place, so where does the whole controversy between the two neighbors even begin? You'll notice that there's an extensive amount of marking in the Tosfos, and truth be told, there is even more that can be added, and we encourage each one to add his own markings as he goes through it. By way of introduction, we have on the side a taktzir and a mivneh, and this is also very skeletal, but nevertheless, let's read what we've written on the side. The Ri in the Tosfos, posech behezbra ha-gemorah, his explanation of the Gemara, kushyus ha-gemora al Rava, the Gemara's question on Rava, she osar lismoich, Rava had prohibited being soymech, me ha-braisa shel chacham Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara had raised the question on Rava from the braisa with the chacham Rabbi Yossi binyan charol u-dvorim. I should point out also, What we'll discover as we go through the Tosfos is Tosfos essentially takes the Gemara apart line by line, phrases of the Gemara, and explains, elaborates on that phrase, and then moves on to the next phrase of the Gemara, giving an explanation. From time to time, Tosfos will get off the actual give and take of the Gemara aspect of his explanation, raise other issues and answer them, but the general thrust, and we're going to try to reflect this through our markings, the general thrust of the Tosfos is to give you a practically a line by line explanation of the Gemara, but it's very detailed. So we have a house marking that highlights the expression Bishlamo Abaye. Do you notice that? At the beginning of the Tosfos, Bishlamo Abaye. And that we also have a long marking that takes you to the second wide line where another house marking appears, Elo Lerova. So that Tosfos explains how the Tanaic source with Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan figures in well according to Abaye's approach that you're allowed to be somech, and within that section Tosfos will present the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. However, according to Rava, we have a difficulty, and that we'll see as we saw on the second wide line of the Tosfos. There's another marking, the diamond with a colored in tip. And that is we've noticed, Simun Yitziras Kesher Lekamon. It's an attempt to simply create a connection between what we see here and what the Gemara says later on. Is Kosalka Daitoch, there's an initial thinking that involves the B-Chardol relationship. That's the Salka Daitoch, that bees also damage Chardol. And then later you'll see in a diamond, Kidamasik, meaning the final conclusion that the bees are not a source of damage to the Chardol. So that's what we're going to try to accomplish with our diamond marking. Another marking that we'll see as we go through the Gemara is a crown shape highlighting the word bor. And again, this is a marking, simin litzor kesher im hemshech agam atosus. It's an attempt to keep to create a connection between what's said earlier and that which is noted later in the Tosfos. We're also going to, at this point, mention that at a later in the Tosfos you'll notice will be circling, we're using a circle marking. It might be that you'll want to add more of this in your study of the Tosfos, but what we're trying to accomplish with this particular marking, you'll notice we highlight Rav Papa on the fourth wide line of the Gemara, Tshuvas Rav Papa, Lekushya al Rava. It will be Tosfos' explanation of Rav Papa's answer on behalf of Rava to defend Rava. Ubahem Sheikh, Acher Hezbera Tosfos the Rav Papa, and after Tosfos finishes his explanation of Rav Papa, Muva Hezber Shel Tosfos Lekushyos HaGemara, Tosfos will then go on to explain the Gemara's kashis on Rav Papa. V'achar kach mazber tshuvas Ravina, and then Tosfos will explain Ravina's response. V'achar kach mazber hakushyos shiboyim big voice of, and then Tosfos will explain the questions that come following Ravina. And throughout the Tosfos, we're going to be using you'll see how the circle appears, highlighting the words of the Gemara itself. So as we said, Tosfos is going to be giving us a running explanation of the Gemara. Later, there's more to be said by more markings that we'll be introducing later on. Oh, now we turn to the Tosfos. Pirush Ri, as far as the discussion of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, Vishlama Abaye, Diomar Somich, according to Abaye, who says that you can put up to the border a source of damage, assuming that there is no, we'll say, victim that is already there. Asi Shapir, the Brisa works out well. Demairi, it speaks Shesomach Baal Dvorim Tchila. You have two neighbors, and the bee honey producer put his bees there first. V'yafagav Dehashto Kosalka Daitach Dvorim Nami Maski Lechardo Lechule Alma. Even though right now the thinking is that the bees are also a source of damage. After all, the whole discussion between Abaye and Rava is concerns the placing of a source of damage at the border. So we're going to work, if you're going to tell me that the bees were there first, they must represent then a source of damage. Mikol Mokom, Savri. Now, that being said, what did the Rabbanan say? The Rabbanan said that the Hardol must be distanced. Mikol Mokom Savri Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who said that you're marchik the Hardol from the Dvorim, they hold the Al Hamazik Sheni, the Hainu Baal Hardol, Laharchik Es Atzmo Kolar Chokus, Kamo Gabi Bor. I didn't emphasize enough when we were saying that the Dvorim are also a source of damage to the Hardol. That means the Hardol also damages bees. That's obvious. Nevertheless, the Rabbanon hold that even though you're dealing with two mazikin, the first mazik had a right to be there. Namely, the bee man who was there first had a right to be there. And when we saw in the Tanaic source that you're marchik the Hardol, the second mazik is the one that has to move. Just like we have got Kamo Gabi Bor, just like in the case of the pit, namely Deim Somach Harishon Al Hametzar, you have the Mishnah that opens this parak involves the digging of a pit, and if the first guy dug a pit, there were no pits in the vicinity, and he dug a pit right up to the border. Hasheni, the second guy that wants to dig his pit, Marchik Kol Shisha Tfochim. He has to distance himself the full six Tfochim. The six Tfochim represents the two pit's wall thickness. Each pit has a is entitled to a pit wall of 3 tefachim. So the position of the Rabbanon is that when you have, we'll say, 2 mazikin, and the as far as, and again following Abaye's approach, that the first mazik, so to speak, the first one on the scene is allowed to put his thing right up at the border. The second mazik is the one that has to distance himself. So if the bees, which though they're a source of damage to Chardal, if they were there first, before there was any Chardal in the vicinity, the bees were allowed to be put at the border, and the Chardal man has to distance himself. And okay, so far that, and that is, there's a precedent for that, like we find by the boar. As far as Abaye is concerned, the first guy to dig a pit is allowed to dig right up to the border. The second guy that wants to dig his pit, he has to make sure that he's 6 tefachim away from the halal, from the interior of the first pit, providing for 2 pit wall thicknesses. For Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi, who in the Brisa said that the Rabbi Yossi Mati Bechardol, Sovar, he holds Kevan de Dvorim Maski Chardol, V'yosek Tzashiloi Kehegen Shesomach Ala Meitzar Sheze Osid L'soiv L'zroa Chardol. Rabbi Yossi says that since the bees are a source of damage, and again I emphasize, the bees were there first. That's what Tosfos says set up here. The bees were there first. But since the bees damaged Chardol, and the owner of the bees did something with a, it's called Tzashalokhen, so a little bit slightly improper, slightly wrong. In what sense? They put the bees right up to the border, impinging upon the potential of the neighbor who wants to plant Chardol. By putting the bees right up to the border, so we're threatening the future plans of the neighbor that wants to plant Chardol. Tosfos goes on to say, "Afalpi shebedin eino yochol lemoinoi shelo yismoch." Even though by letter of the law, the second guy cannot prevent the guy from putting the bees there. This, of course, is Abaye, consistent with his position that first guy to put it, to appear, even though he's a mazik, he can put it right up to the border. Mikol mokom. Sas Shaloka Hagen Oise. Nevertheless, the first guy, the guy who put the bees there, did something with partially wrong, partially improper, and as a result, Vegam Bal Chardol Yochel Lismoich. Since first guy did something slightly improper, Rabbi Yossi, who said Matir Bechardol, he too can put his Chardol, which is a threat to the bees, he can put his Chardol right up to the border. V'lo domi labor. And it's not like the case of the pit. The hosam, there in the case of the pit, what happened? First guy dug a pit right up at the border. And in that case, Abaye concedes that after the first guy dug his pit right up the border, the second guy isn't going to be allowed to dig his pit right up to the border also. Abaye tells you that Rabbi Yossi wouldn't say that. And why not? Why is the case of the pit different? The Hussam, the second guy who comes to dig the pit, of course he has to distance himself. Even though the first guy, you can say the same thing, he did something partially wrong by digging right up to the border, thereby forcing the second guy to distance himself as much as he has to. Nevertheless, the Hosam Mishum de Marpi Le La'are Umazik Hasheni Biodayim Lekoisel Boru Shel Rishon Lekach Al Hasheni Lahachik Kol Har Choka. In that case, the second guy who would come theoretically and dig a pit also right up to the border, every shovel bang or plunge into the ground, he's loosening the soil and if it's going to be right next to the pit of the first guy, the second guy digging his pit is loosening the soil and weakening the walls of the first pit. So he's proactively, immediately causing damage to the first guy. And that even Rabbi Yossi cannot allow. Avol hacha, no. But in the case of the bees and the hardal, that same level of, we'll say, of immediate, obvious damage doesn't apply. So that you have the... So in such a case, the bee guy was there first, did something partially wrong, and as a result, we offer a concession to the hardal guy. You too can plant your hardal right up at the border. And you understand that as he's planting the hardal, it's true that the hardal damages the bees, but as he's planting the hardal, there's no immediate damage done to the bees. That's something that only sets in later, and in fact it's a kind of damage that the bees bring upon themselves, so to speak. They eat the hardal and then they get this sharp taste in their bee mouths and then consume their honey, etc. It's a very different type of damage than the case of the second guy digging a pit, if he were to have dug it right on the border. So as far as explaining the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon following Abaye, things are very understandable. The story gets off the ground because the first guy, the B guy, was allowed by letter of the law to be Samech. Elo the Rav Odiomalo Samech. According to the Rav, though, that source of damage cannot be put right up to the border. And it would then follow that the bees were not right up on the border. Hechin Mishkachas Lo the Baal Achardol Yarchik Kol Archok El Rabbonon Rabbi Yossi Lo Yarchik Klal. Then how are we to explain that after the bees were there first, the Chardol man, according to the Rabbonon, has to be Marchik. And it's said that Marchikin is a Chardol min Advarim. That's what the Rabbonon said. And that would mean that the full distancing, the whatever required distancing must be, the full amount, the full Harchoka, must be done by the Baal Achardol. And according to Rabbi Yossi, no distancing is necessary whatsoever. It said, Rabbi Yossi, the Lashon was Rabbi Yossi Matir B'Achardol, which would mean no distancing is necessary whatsoever. The Keva de Travayu Maski Adodi, since both of them, the Travayu means it's the Dvorim and the Chardol, are mutual sources of damage one to the other. And again, we emphasize we're within Shitas Rava that a mazik is not allowed to be put right at the border. I'll call echod v'echod laharchik chatzi archoka. Each one would be responsible for half of the necessary distancing. Even if the bee man did put the bees there up at the border immediately, he would have to remove them from the border. As far as Rava is concerned, he put them there illegally. Rava says you're not allowed to be soimich. So just to summarize the problem, according to Rava, how are we to understand why the Rabbanan would say Chardol man has to make the entire Harchoka? Rabbi Yossi is saying no Harchoka necessary whatsoever. when both are mazikin, both would have to do partial harchoka. Oma Rav Papa, Rav Papa, who appears on the first line of the Gemara, belokeach. We're dealing with the case of a lokeach. What does that mean? And here Tosis elaborates, explains what the case of lokeach is. You'll notice we have a triangle marking, and on the side under our mivneh, shezora chardol, we're highlighting that expression in a triangle, tchila first, and later we'll be highlighting with using a triangle the Baal Hadorim tchila. Now, Rav Papa says, we're dealing, in order to understand the Gemara through the Machlokes Tanoim, the Brises according to Rava, we have to say we're talking about a case of Lokeach. What happened? Shezora Chardol. Step one, Chardol was planted. Umochar Chatzi Sodehu. He then sold half, the second half of the field. Valokeach Hemid Dvorin. And the purchaser then set up bees. This, of course, is a turnaround. You'll notice that we have a triple star to the side of the Tosfos. If you look above, you see there Tosfos started the started off the explanation of the Gemara before we got to Rav Papa, is involved the Baal Dvorim Tchila. According to Rav Papa, with the Lokeach approach, the Chardol was planted initially, and then the Lokeach, the purchaser, set up the bees. That's stage two. The Savri Rabbonon, and what we have to now do is, through the eyes of Rav Papa, explain the Rabbonon, and a few lines later, you'll see, he explains Rav Yossi. The Savri Rabbonon, Kidemasik, Didvorim lo maski l'chardol. And the Rabbonon are of hold like the Maskona, at the end of the Gemara, that Dvorim, the bees, in this case of the purchaser, the bees are lo maski l'chardol. They don't impose any damage to the chardol. V'al hamazik laharchik es atzmo, and it's the mazik. Who's the mazik? The mocher in this case, ironically, the Baal HaChardol was there first. He has to distance himself off Abisha Somach Beheter, even though he put the Chardol there Beheter. When he planted it, there was no one around. He was the exclusive owner of the entire property. There was no one to be damaged. So even though he planted the Chardol in total Heter, nevertheless, he, being the mazik at this point, has to distance his chardol. Afalgav de gabi ilon. Even though, in the case of the tree, kishesamchoi beheter, in the case of the lokeach, person had planted a tree, then sold the other half of the field. So even though in the case of the tree, when he planted it beheter, amri do lo yokutz, no, we don't cut down the tree, and here we're saying that the chardol that was planted must be, yes, removed. So that we need to contrast it. We have to explain this seeming contradiction, contrast in approach. Why? So even though, with regard to the tree that was planted there in Beheter, we say the tree is not cut down. Hanimili ilon she'osui lamoid shonim rabois v'iko hefsid meruba. The tree was planted with the anticipation that it would, when it was planted, it would stand for many years. That's a tree. A tree is not like a chardol plant, which is seasonal. A tree is there perennial. It's there year after year. And the cutting down of the tree would have been a hefsid meruba, a great loss. Aval, and we're continuing within the Rabbonon, Aval mash recreation of chardol, but these sources of damage: the mashre, damaging yerek, kresh, damaging betzolim, charnel, damaging bees. That analysis is inapplicable. They're not there for many years. Their removal would not be a hefsid meruba. So there the Rabbanan take the liberty of saying that even though they were there beheter, they must be moved, because they are the clear maziks. The hachi nami aminon gabi ilon. In fact, we say the same thing when it comes to the tree. Im habor kodam, if the pit was there first, kaisetz v'naisein domim. The tree is to be cut down, though he is compensated. Afagav de somach ilono beiser. Even though, in that case, the tree was there. It was there when it shouldn't have been planted there because there was a pit first. Nevertheless, there's the hefsid meruba, the big loss that is incurred. He is compensated for that. Ubashar dvarim hanismochem biyisareinu nira shiitnu domim. On other cases, other sources of damage that were put there in a prohibited fashion, we don't see compensation. Elataimo de la hefsid meruba chashishu. And that bolsters what we said just before. And when it comes to the tree, because of its hefsid meruba, because of the great loss, financial loss involved, the halacha regards it differently. And in the case that it was there first, beheter, you don't touch it. As opposed to the mashir creation and chardol, even though they may have been there beheter, like in the case of lokeach, nevertheless the Rabbanan can turn to the Bala Chardol, I know that you planted it beheter, you were there first, but right now, having sold the field to the purchaser and he is deciding to set up Devorim, the Bala Chardol has to move the Chardol. For Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Yossi was matir b'chardol. He's matir lusmoich b'chardol. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, the dvorim mazgi l'chardol. You notice we were using a volcano shape, and we used it just four lines up. With regard to the Rabbanan, we emphasize dvorim are not mazgi l'chardol. And here you see dvorim in the double underline, mazgi l'chardol, the contrast. Rabbi Yossi says that the dvorim are mazgi l'chardol. The dvorim of the purchaser, I want to emphasize that. We're dealing with the Rav Papa's approach, the lokeach. The dvorim of the purchaser, they came on the scene in the number two position, they affect the chardol. The tzorech bal dvorim laharchik kol archoka. The lokeach, if he's interested in preserving his devorim, then he has to move entirely the entire harchoka. Kevon de bal chardol lo osa klal shelo kahogen. Even though, I should say, that is a result of the bal chardol, the one who sold the second half of the field. His chardol was there in total rights to it. When he planted the chardol, he planted it before he sold the second half of the field. So the bala chardol lo asa klal shalogen. He did nothing wrong. You'll notice that we have a few lines in brackets. We have a note introducing this bracketed section. The double start note reads, Sagraim Elu Einom L'Shem Diluk. The purpose of these brackets is not really for skipping purposes. We're not here to maintain after the brackets a flow of the reading. Elo, so why do we have these lines in brackets if they're not here for skipping purposes? Elo L'Tachem Keta, it's rather to section off. L'Tachem means to create a border. To create borders around a keta, a section of the Tosfos Shebo Tosfos Masbir Loma Lo Nokad Hesber Shoyne Mimashi Hesber. Tosfos will present an explanation that he decided not to give. In other words, something that you that what. We gave an explanation for Rav Popa and his analysis of the Rabbonan and Rav Yossi. In the brackets, he will tell us what he did not say, what he decided not to say. Let me read that again. Keta Shebo Tosis Masbir Loma Lo Nokan Hesbir Shoyne Mimashi Hesbir Ve Hamivnehu. There's a structural note that's relevant to this piece of Tosis within the brackets. You'll notice we have there's the use of a diamond, which highlights the expressions umishum hochi nami, and because of this, etc. and so forth. Matzig oise hesber. Following that first diamond, he's going to give you the explanation that he doesn't want. And then the second diamond introduces why he doesn't want it. The imkain mara hakoshi shebo. At that point, he'll feature the difficulty. He'll explain the difficulty in the we'll say the explanation that he presents. Now, let's go through the bracketed section. Umishum hochi nami lo boi leukmi. Kishesomach bal dvorim tchila uvelokeach. It's for this reason, namely based on what we have said till now in the Tosfos, he doesn't want to set up the case of Rabbon and Rav Yossi, the Braisa, where the bees were there first. And a case of lokeach. I want to remind everyone that according to the Rabbanon, the Dvorim, relative to the Charol, the Dvorim are a nizak, are a victim. Now, as for the following, I did not want to set up the case where the bees were there first, and then after that he sold the other half of the field in which chardol would be planted. The purchaser would then plant chardol. We have an internal brackets. These internal brackets are really for skipping purposes, and we have a little note on the side which says Sagrayim Elu, the angular brackets, L'shem Dilug Kedei L'Hokel Al Retzef HaChashiva, in order to maintain the logical flow. So we'll follow our own instructions and do that. We read so far that he doesn't want to set up the Tosfos doesn't want to set up the Gemara and Rav Papa's explanation with the bees there first and the subsequent sale of the second half of the field, skipping the two lines now. De'im kain, kevon debal dvorim somach beheter v'lo'oso shaloka hogen. Since the bees put the man who owned the bees placed them there beheter, did nothing wrong. Lo hoya matir Reb Yossi lebal chardol lismoch. Even Reb Yossi wouldn't have allowed the chardol to be planted on the border. The purchaser of the second half of the field would not have been allowed by Reb Yossi to plant the chardol right up there. Now let's go over. We skipped the angular section. So just to review, what did we say? Tosfos has explained why I didn't want to set up the brisa where the bees were there first, and then a subsequent sale of the second half of the field, because under circumstances like that, even Rabbi Yossi would not have allowed the placing of the planting of the chardal right up on the border. Now, we go over that again. Umishim Hochi, reading from the diamond, Umishim Hochi, Nami, Loboy, Lukmi, Kishisomach, Bal, Vorim, Tchila, Ubalo, Keach. Velo, now if he would have said that, if he would have said Bal Dvorim was there, then Velo, he would have actually saved himself some trouble. Velo, Hoya, Tzorach, Lidchoik, Veloimar, Dilarabonon, it would have then been unnecessary for him to say in a doichak fashion, according to the Rabbanon, like we did say earlier, al hamazik laharchik afopishosa beheter, masha eino gabi ilonu bor. You know, that would have become unnecessary, that the mazik has to move himself, even though he had, in the case of the chadol planted first. The original Esber, the Chadol planted first. The result was that the Chadol has to move according to the Rabbanon, even though, and this is what we would be saving ourselves now, if we say Dvorim were there first, we wouldn't have had to say that here you have someone in the case of the Chadol there first, someone did it beheter, and yet he has to move. And then contrast that with the case of the Elon and the Bor, where the Mazik did not have to move. Here we have our bow tie marking. You can relate this to what we did say before, that in that case you had the mazik there first and didn't have to move. By setting up the case of dvorim there first, boy, we would have saved ourselves that problem called that headache of having to explain according to the Rabbanon, having a person, a mazik there first who did it beheter, having to move, and then saying how that's different in the case of the tree. Vigam, what else would we have saved? What other problem would we have saved had we set up the case of Dvorim Tchila? Vigam lo yitzorich lomar de la Rabbonon Dvorim lo mazgi lechardel upligi Arab Yossi. Then it would have been unnecessary to say that according to the Rabbonon, the bees are not mazik lechardel, and create a machloikis between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi on that point. And by the way, we have we had highlighted that disagreement with the volcano shape. And we would have been able to say that they agree with that the Dvorim are Mazik. The Rabbanan would have been able to agree that the Dvorim are Mazik. But since the bees were there first and Beheter, they would not. The bees don't have to move. So that's what we would have saved had we, yes, set up the case with Dvorim Tchila Ubalokeach. So why didn't, look how much trouble we would have saved ourselves. So why did Tosfos not explain the Machlokes that way? Din Kain, had it been a case, had the Chardol Dvorim case involved bees put at the border first and then second half of the field sold. Im Kain came on the Baal Dvorim Somech Beheter Veloser Shloka Hoigen Loi Hoya Matir Rabbi Yossi Lebaal Chardol Lismach. Rabbi Yossi wouldn't have been Matir in that case for the Baal Chardol to plant the Chardol there after the bees were there Beheter. Yep. And yet we know that Rabbi Yossi was Matir B'chardol, and that indicated to Tosfos that we have to set it up as we did, namely that the Chardol was planted first and then he sold the second half of the field, as we saw in the first triangle on the third, on the fourth wide line of the Tosfos. V'im tomar nuki plutayu beloilokeach. If you would ask, why couldn't the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachomim be set up without lokeach, meaning not like Rav Papa, rather neighbors? There were two fields there, two properties. next to each other. The Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, who said that the Chardol has to market the Chardol, the Rabbanon, the Dvorim Lomazgi Lechardol, according to the Rabbanon, that bees do not malaffect the Chardol, Tzorach Bal Chardol Lahosir Ulaharchi Kol Archoka Avavisha Somach Tchila. The Bala Chardol, even though he was there first, since the bees are pure victim, the Bala Chardol must move the Chardol, even though, as we just to repeat, even though when he planted the Chardol there were no, the second neighbor didn't have any bees there. Ula Rav Yossi Keva de Travayu Maski Adodi Ein Labala Chardol Laharchik Kol Archoka Ela Achatzi. And Rav Yossi, who says that the bees also damage the Chardol, since they both damage one another, it's not upon the Baal Chardol to move the entire distance required, just part, and that would be the pshat in Reb Yossi Matir B'Chardol, meaning that he's matir to move only partial. He doesn't have to move the whole amount. So why couldn't we have explained the Machlokas Tanoim that way without the Lokeach explanation of Rav Papa? V'yesh lomar, the Matir B'Chardol mashma the Matir L'gami L'smoch. Very simply, because the Lashon of the Gemara, of the source, of the Tanaic source, would say, Rabbi Yossi, Matir B'Chardol, totally Matir, to put them, to have the Chardol right up on the border. And in order to accommodate that, we had to explain, like we did, that the Chardol was planted in the middle of a field owned by one person, and after he planted the Chardol, he sold the second half of the field to someone who eventually set up bees over there. Ihachi, well, if so, that. Now here we're going back to the play-by-play of the Tosis explanation of the Gemara. In other words, after Rav Papa gave us his explanation, the Gemara then asks, Ihachi, that we're talking about a case of Lokeach, and the Mazik was there, Beheter, the Chardol was planted first, there were no bees in the vicinity. The Chardol was planted when it was, the field was owned by only one person, my Taima de Rabbanon. And here I want to just remind you that we've circled this, and this is a reference to the Gemara, two lines from the top of the Gemara, where it said, my Taima de Rabbanon, Kevon de Beheter Nismichu Mashre the creation, since the mazik was placed beheter, and when we speak about the Shitas Rabbonon and we speak about the mazik there first, let's not forget we also had the mashre and the creation, mashre hurting Gerek, creation hurting Betzolim. And if, as we explained, as Rav Popa explained, that the mazik, like the case of the Chardol, was there first, and then the second half of the field was sold to someone else, Lo matzorich laharchikon kishibo yereku betzolim v'kol shekein Chardol lo mayarchikuhu kishibo dvorim. Why is there any need? Why do the Rabbanon hold that after something was there placed beheter gomor? Even though it was a mazik, but at the time it was there, it certainly wasn't a mazik. It was there beheter gomor. Why is there a need for the moving of the mashre from the yerek that appears subsequently, and the betzolim that appears, why the creation have to move from the betzolim that appears subsequently, and all the more so, why would the chardol have to be distanced when the dvorim show up? In all of these cases, they were there beheter. That's one question that we saw in the Gemara. And And number two, you notice we have a bracketed section, half a line. We skip the brackets initially. V'yoid, again, from the Gemara. My time of the Rabbi Yossi. These were we have that circle because that was three lines from the top of the Gemara. Tosis is giving the play by play explanation. So my time of the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi had said, it said Rabbi Yossi matir b'chado. So my time of the Rabbi Yossi, the lo polagela b'chado, the mishum de dvorim nami mazgi b'chado. Why does Rabbi Yossi not argue other than in the case of the chardol on the grounds that the dvorim also malaffect the chardol? Afilu mashra v'yerek. So too in the case of, even in the case of the mashra v'yerek, kevon shenase hamashra beheter, since the mashra was there in a permissible fashion, lo yitzdorech laharchika kamo gabi ilan v'bar. There should be no need for distancing them either. And Rabbi Yossi didn't, he seemed to accept the requirement of distancing the mashra and the kreshim. But we have precedent for a mazik there first, but heter doesn't have to move like we have by the case of the, you know, the tree there first, and then the boar dug subsequently. You don't cut down the tree. You know, we skipped a couple words before. Let's go over that again. We just to read a few words before the bracketed section. We said if you're dealing with a case of lokeach, and the mazik, the element that's mazik was there first, beheter, why is there any need, lomotz, why in the case of the mashin creation, lomotz rich aharchikon, kishibo yerek, vatsom koshkein chardol, loma yarchiku, kishibo dvarim, why do you have to remove the chardol, kevon shigam heim, mazgi, he said, certainly, in the case of the chardol, according to the Rabbanon, why in the world would chardol have to be moved when the Dvorim come on the scene, when after all the Dvorim are also maski, the Salka Daitach, the Dvorim Nami Maski Lechardo Lechuleyama. This Salka Daitach, by the way, is a throwback to the at the very beginning of the Tosis. If you remember, we had a diamond there with the Salka Daitach. It's a throwback to that, because at this point the thinking is that everyone holds that the Dvorim are also a threat to the Chardo. So, although more so the Chardol guy, according to the Rabbanon, should not have to move when the Dvorim come on the scene, when the Dvorim themselves are a type of mazik to the Chardol. The ode, continuing, we read this before, we'll read it again. The ode, my time of the Rabbi Yossi, the lo polagel of the Chardol, mishum the Dvorim, nami maski le Chardol. And furthermore, why does Rabbi Yossi argue only on the point of the Chardol, that they don't, the Chardol doesn't have to move on the grounds that the Dvorim are themselves a threat to the Chardol? I feel Mashe v'Yerek, even in the case of Mashe v'Yerek, it's true that the Mashe v'Yerek, the Yerek is not a threat to the Mashe, but nevertheless, Kevon Shinasa Mashe Beheter, since the Mashe was there initially in the middle of a field owned by one person, it was put there Beheter Gomor, Lo Yitzar Lachigo, Kamo Gabi Ilanu Bar. Rabbi Yossi should concede that the Mashe shouldn't have to move either, just like in the case of the Ilan there first, doesn't have to move when the Bar appears subsequently. Umeshani Ravina. Notice, now this is a reference again, keeping track of the Gemara, play by play. Ravina appeared four lines from the top of the Gemara. Ravina answers, Li Olam Belokeach. We're going to keep to the Rav Pop approach that we're dealing with the case of Lokeach. The Kosavri Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon that were Mechayev the Baal Achardol to move, as well as the Mashre and the creation, the Rabbonon hold Al Hamazik Laharchik Es Atzmo. It's upon the Mazik, he's the one that's obligated to distance himself. Afalpi Sha'asa Beheter, as is the case of Lokeach, even though it was done beheter. Ulahachi al baal hachardol laharchik shuhu mazik. And therefore, it's the baal hachardol's obligation to move himself. He is mazik the dvorim. uporech. Now, this is a reference to the Gemara, five lines from the top. Uporech. Kevon de shaminon mi milsu de ravina. Shadvorim einom mazikim lecharno. From Ravina, you got the impression by the Ravina explaining the reason for the Rabbonim saying the Chardol has to move because that they are the sole source of damage. They, the Chardol, damages Dvorim. So you get the impression that the Dvorim, according to the Rabbonim, are not mazik the Chardol. The lekach nosnu Rabbonim harchoka al baal Chardol. That's why the Rabbanan placed the burden of moving on the owner of the Chardol. Michlal de Rabbi Yossi, we can then infer from that. Rabbi Yossi argues on the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi, who we saw Rabbi Yossi matir b'Chardol. Michlal de Rabbi Yossi sovar al hanizak, that's the bees, the victim. Al hanizak laharchik atzmo. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi is matir, having the chardol there on the border, of course, we're talking about the field was sold, and the other half then had the bees placed there. From the fact that the Rabbi Yossi is allowing the chardol to remain there on the border, it must be because Rav Yossi is of the opinion that when it comes to matters of distancing, it's the nizak's responsibility, the victim's responsibility, to keep his safe distance, and therefore the bees, if he wants to preserve his bees, he would have to maintain the distance. In Cain. If that's the case, that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Nizak has to distance himself. Hafilu Masher V'Yerekam. You notice we've circled. This is from the Gemara itself. Six lines from the top of the Gemara. Even in the case of Mashre, which is the Mazik, and the Yerek as well, according to Rabbi Yossi, there should be no need for the Mashre to distance himself. The Yerek is the Nizak. Yerek would have to distance himself. So that's how to understand the Gemara's kasha. That when the Gemara said, well, from this then Rabbi Yossi would be holding. Just to repeat, Rabbi Yossi's opinion would be that the Nizak has to distance himself. Why do we not see Rabbi Yossi then speaking up with regard to the case of the Mash and the Yerek? That's the Gemara's kasha. Vuadin the Havimotzi Lakshie. Now here are Tosis comments as far as the Gemara itself could have asked, the Babraisa Behedya Mashma, from the Braisa itself is Mashma not like Ravina. Shehadvorim Maski Nami Lachardo the Kotani. Now just we're gonna go over this in a minute. Just to repeat though, Ravina presented the Rabbonan as holding that the when he says that the Chardol has to distance himself, that's from Ravina you get the feeling that the Dvorim are not mazik the Chardol. But from the Lashon of the Brice itself, and that's what we just read in the Tosfos, from the Lashon of the Brice itself, it seems that the Dvorim are mazik. And that's not like Ravina. And by the way, you notice this special house shape, Hadvorim Maski, contrasted with the impression we got from Ravina two lines above. Hadvorim are not Mazik. Here you see from the Brice itself that the Dvorim are Mazik, Nami Lachardol, de Kotoni Ve'ochlis Ligudi Chardoli. So that, if you're going to follow on the heels of Ravina with a Kashin, the Gemara did ask its kasha on Ravina. This could have been raised. Eloni chole leminkat kushya deafilu mashre v'yarek nami mishum The Gemara's kasha that you saw in the Gemara text, six lines from the top, is more fitting for the Gemara to raise that question. Mishum dehischil kvar lahakshoisa. I believe that's a reference to the Gemara three lines from the top. Since the Gemara introduced that as a question earlier, when it said Vafilu Mashrev Yerek Nami, so it was comfortable for the Gemara to use that style question coming on the heels of Ravina, a type of question that we saw earlier in this very Gemara. Now, we mentioned in our introductory remarks that we would pick up, according to from the Bach's Eitzah, the next Tosfos, last one on the page, Vesovar. Now, let's, following that advice, we skip to that Tosfos. Vesovar Rav Yosi, this is a reference to the Gemara, there were six lines from the bottom, Vesovar Rav Yosi al Amazik, Vechule, from the Gemara's discussion, based on that which had been mentioned on the last narrow line of the Gemara. The Gemara had said there, "Le'olam Rav Yosi Nami ala Mazik Svirolei," that the Mazik has to be Marchik. On that, the Gemara asked here on the six lines from the bottom, "Does Rav Yosi really say that Mazik has to Marchik himself? Do we not see in the case of the boar coming before the tree, you don't cut down the tree, even though the tree is a mazik. So how can you say that Rabbi Yossi holds that the mazik has to distance himself, where we see there that mazik doesn't have to distance himself?" The Tosfos says, "Lekamon al mekoy mahavi lelakshuye." That question could have been asked on the Mishnah, Daf Chof Hei. Makoma means where the Mishnah itself appears. Elo mishum ti itzterich le lefarish hocha de sovar rabiosi al hamazik lehachrik es atzmo. But rather, since it had been necessary for the Gemara, I believe earlier that we pointed out, for the Gemara to have said that rabiosi is of the opinion, in order to see to appreciate a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon, we have to say that Rabbi Yossi holds the mazik has to marchik himself. So askua lekula milsa hocha ubalokeach. The Gemara continued and had to finish off the theme, the discussion concerning what's Rabbi Yossi's, what's his true position, who has to move. The Gemara, as you could see, four lines from the bottom eventually changed and said, "Elo li'olam Rabbi Yossi al nizik lahav l'svirolei." But in order to develop a full explanation of Rabbi Yossi, so that's why the Gemara raised the question: does Rabbi Yossi really hold that the mazik has to diss himself? When we saw that that's from the case of the Elon and the boar, that that's not the case. The Hacha E Efsher, and Tosis also added the whole explanation involved the case of Lokeach, as we've been explaining till now. The Hacha E Efsher Lefarsho Kepirush Rabbeinu Hananel. Here, we cannot explain like Rabbeinu Hananel. You'll notice that Rabbeinu Hananel, we alluded to him, we referred to him on Tosfos on Omen Aleph, Dibra Maskel Ocha, two lines from the end. The Piresh, Rabbeinu Hananel had explained the case of Lokeach, the Piresh Ba'odom, Shelokeach Mashre. There was a case, not of one field then being split, second half sold to the next party, but rather it's a case of two neighbors, Rabbeinu Hananel said, and someone bought a mashre. I should actually say it's not even a case necessarily of two neighbors, but someone had bought the mashre. The mashre being the source of damage, and the tanin la lokeach. And we explained that we interceded on behalf of the purchaser of the mashre that he bought it from someone, the one who sold it, the mocher who sold it to the lokeach, had bought the rights to have the mashre right up there at the border. If you want to talk about the two neighbors, he had bought the rights to have the mashre there, as you'll see that explained in the Hemshech here. The in Cain, if that were the case, if you were to accept the Rabbeinu Hananel's approach in his explanation of Lokeach, the in Cain Lomo Yarchi Kamashre Keshiyavoy Shom Yerek. Why would the mashre have to move when Yerek is brought later? As it's said in the sources, in Marchikim HaMashre Min HaYerek. Kevon SheToanin Lo SheHamoicher Kona Smicha Zu. Since we had interceded on behalf of the purchaser, claiming that the one who sold it to him, who sold him the mashre that's currently on the border, had bought the rights to have the mashre there. If that were the case, then why would the mashre have to move? Ela tzorech lefarish belokeach kamo shapirish bekuntris o kerivar Mordechai. In order to be able to understand why the source would say, in the case of Mashre, I think there's a detail I want to feature. The Rabbeinu Hananel had been introduced before we came up with the case of the mashre and the being marchik the mashre from the Erek. The Rabbeinu Hananel was part of the Gemara just before that, when we were dealing with the Elon and the Elon coming before the Bor. So in that case, the Rabbeinu Hananel offered his explanation of the individual purchasing, having purchased the rights to have the source of damage where it was. However, when you get to the Tanaic source involving the distancing of the mashre from the Yerek, there, as Tosfos just explained, the explanation of the Rabbeinu Hananel just doesn't hold, because why would the if the guy who bought the mashre was the beneficiary of our toilin on his behalf, why would he have to move? So therefore, we prefer the approach of Rashi or the Rivam of someone who sold the second half of the field. And this is the explanation of the entire sugya, as Rashi explained. With the case of the lokeach, as Rashi himself said in Dibur Maaseh HaLokeach. This, by the way, is the same re that we saw at the beginning of the second Tosfos print on the page, Dibur Maaseh V'ilo, where the re entered and offered the entire running explanation of the Gemara, and that was Lefi Shitas Rashi, namely that the case of lokeach involved one large field exclusively owned by an individual, source of damage put in the middle of the field, Heter Gomor, second half of the field sold, and the rest is history. Vekoshe lo. However, he has a difficulty. It appears that the Re has a couple of questions. In fact, we're going to, through our markings, we're going to use some a series of triangles with a colored in tip highlighting a series of three questions. V'koshe lo, ma hutzruch l'chalek b'dochak bein lokeach de'ilon l'lokeach de'mashre. This was a point that we saw alluded to earlier in the Tosis D'Maso V'i. We saw this as part of a section of the Tosis in a bracketed section. Tosis had mentioned that this was he said we had an angular brackets in that Tosis where he said v'lohay atzorch lidchik v'lomar. There we were making reference to a contrast between the Elon and Bor, and here he is raising that very point as something that's uncomfortable. Why was it necessary to make a distinction between the case of the purchaser in the case of the Mashre versus the case of the purchaser in the case of the Elon, where in the case of the Mashre the Rabbana said, yeah, even though it was there Beheter, you still have to move, whereas in the case of the Elon he doesn't have to move. Fiod de lomo himtin lahavi mishnazu de Mashre v'yerek bachrona ha mukdamim b'mishnosenu. Why did the Gemara, in its series of questions, cite at the end, the last of the series of questions, the case of Mashre v'Yerek, which was on Daf Chof Hei Omer Aleph, it's cited as the last in the series of questions, when it actually appears earlier in our Mishnayos, before the questions that you see in our markings? We had questions 8, 9, and 10 that appear in Mishnayos after Mashre v'Yerek. If you following our marking scheme, question 11 was from the case of Mashre v'Yerek, whereas question 8, 9, and 10, 8 came from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, and the Avchov, Ovomer Aleph, as well as question number 9. And question number 10 from Chof Hei Omid Beis, but all of those are actually Mishnayos later than the case of Mashre v'Yerek. And yet Mashre v'Yerek is introduced as a source, as a question, in the number 11 position, when it's the first of the Mishnayos in this last series. That's the second question. V'oid, dekatani b'toisefta. In the Brisa you find Rav Yosi Matir Bechardol Sheoimer Loi. The owner of the Chardol says to the Dvorim, Kederech Shosisa Besoich Shelcha, as you did in your section, namely as you put Dvorim there, Kach Ani Oisa Besoichali. So too I will do in my section. I will put Chardol. Mashma, this appears the Baal Dvorim Samatchila, that the bees were there first. And this is not like was explained, and here we have to the side of the Tosfos text, you can see a little marking. You can align this with what you see above on the fourth wide line, where Rav Papa was explained as having held that the Chardol was there first. From the Tosefta, it seems that the bees were there first. The Chardol saying, just like you put your bees up at the border, I will put my Chardol there at the border. So that's a second question. I should say that's the third question. Umeforesh Rabbeinu Tam v'Rabbeinu Chananel. Dehochi Garsinon. And here you'll see the power of a word, one word. They hold that the Girsa, the fourth line from the top of the Gemara, should have the word Ella Oma Ravina, the word Ella emphasized. Ella is a word indicating a contrast, a change, a turnabout, a rejection of what was said earlier, introducing a new approach. Ella Omar Ravina. We're circling the Ravina because of our circling scheme before, is trying to highlight quotes from the Gemara. Here, the Gemara would have been saying Ella Omar Ravina Kosavir Rabbanan Al Hamazik Laharchik Es Atzmoi. Rather, says Ravina, that the Rabbanan are of the opinion that the Mazik has to distance himself. A Hashta, at this point then, Hodar Bei Mikol Shinuya Deliel. At this point then, Ravina is simply turning away from or rejecting all the explanations that had appeared up till this point. Devadai Bekulu Moida Rava. It's clear that in all of the Tanaic examples that we've had, Rava, who opened up the sugya saying it's Osir Lismoch, Rava will admit the Chileka Kaisel El Yerek, in if there's no wall, like the Mishnah from Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, or there's no Yerek, like the Mishnah of Dav Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, the Samech. You can put whatever whether the seeds, that there was no wall, so put seeds right up at the border, it's not affecting anything. Or if there's no Yerek, so put the Mashre there. Mishum de Kosavi Rabbonon de Dafka al Hamazik Laharchik Es Asmo. The opinion of the Rabbonon that hold that it's the Mazik's obligation to distance himself, Dainu ki iko dobar hanizok, that's only when there is something that could be damaged is already present. Abo ki leko dobar hanizok, lo mikri hasoimech mazik, velo osa rovo lismoich, afilu le rabbonon, elo dafka bor. The rabbonon would never have said that something needs to be distanced if the item what we called up till now the mazik was there first. You don't call it a mazik. Rava doesn't prohibit placing things on the border when there's nothing around to be damaged, with the exception of the case of the bor. Elo davka bor. It's only the case of digging a pit on the border when there's, even though there's no pit of the neighbor in the vicinity. Mishum taimo, because of a unique, or actually a specific explanation, the chol mora umora, the komochis martis laroi, that each shovel full, each shovel that you insert in the ground, each shovel full that you dig up, loosens my earth. So therefore, even though you may be the first one to dig a pit, and you want to dig it at the border, the neighbor has a claim against you. In that case, you're a mazik, even though there's nothing else, that there's no other pit in the vicinity. Nevertheless, you are damaging something right now. You're loosening the neighbor's earth. Therefore, the one who is putting the initial bor right there up on the border, it's called the somech, even if there is no other bor in the vicinity. That's where Rava says you can't be samech. The kevon de la rabbonon nami samech, and since Rava holds now at this point, like Abaye, that in general you can be samech, osi shavir plutayu kideprishis liel aliva d'Abaye. Well, now that Rava is in effect holding like Abaye, we can explain the Machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi like we did at the beginning of Tosfos Dibur Maslavi. You don't have to set up a separate explanation to say things are good for Abaye, but then what about Rava? When whatever we said for Abaye Rava will agree with that in their explanation of the Machlokas Tanoim, Rabbonin and Rabbi Yossi. Ulekach Chodar Bei, and therefore Ravina had his turnaround. V'lo Muki be Lokeach, and he doesn't understand the Gemara like Rav Papa had, namely the case of the sale of the land. The presence of the mazik, and then the subsequent sale of the second half of the land. No, Ravina is not going to set it up like Rav Papa, below keach ugon shesomach bal dvorim tchila, and as was suggested quite a bit earlier, that the bees had been there first, and then the second half of the land was sold. Mishum the in Cain, if that if that were the case, lo hoya matir Rav Yossi lismoch lebal achardol. Let me just go over the last from the beginning of this line. Lokoch hodar bei, therefore Ravina, we said, had his turn. Lo muki belokeach, and he didn't set it up in the lokeach ukagon shesomach bal dvorim tchila. This, by the way, was something that we had seen, was suggested in the Tosis Dibur Masa V'I, in the wide lines, as part of the bracketed section. And here he's repeating that point. He didn't set it up like that because the Mishum Deim Kain Lohoya Matir Rabbi Yossi Lismuch Lebal Achardol. Under those circumstances, Rabbi Yossi, we saw, was Matir B'Chardol. He wouldn't have allowed the Baal Achardol to plant the Chardol in a scenario where the bees were there first. They were there first by virtue of the fact that someone had set up bees on a piece of land exclusively owned by himself, and then selling the second half, as we saw earlier. Kevon de Baal Advorim Loosa Klal Shelo Kahogen. In a case like that, where the owner of the bees did nothing wrong, Rabbi Yossi wouldn't have allowed the Chardol man to plant right up along the border there. V'dafka b'desomich b'lo lokeach. Only in a case where, let's say, the bees were put on the border, in a case of two neighbors, someone came along. There were two people having fields, one next to the other, and one party put bees right up at the border in a non-purchase situation. So, as we said, two neighbors. In a case like that, Joseph Tasha Loika Hagen Baladvorim. In that case, he did something partially wrong. What do we mean partially wrong? Because by putting bees there, you're imposing a restriction on the neighbor in his ability to put the to plant his chardol. So only then Mati Rabbi Yossi Labal chardol Lismoch Kibushes Liel. Then, and only then, Rabbi Yossi would say, okay, Mr. B, you did something a little bit wrong, so chardol man, you can also put your chadol right up at the border, as we explained earlier, that we saw in the narrow line of the Tosis of Dibur Maschil V'I. Well, Lefiza, with this in mind, namely, with this whole turnaround approach that we said, Ela Omer Avina, and Rava acknowledging that if there's no mazik in the vicinity, there's no nizak in the vicinity, of course you can put the mazik right up at the border. So with this, all of this in mind, I'll see Shapir, and here what Tosis does is he goes through points 1, 2, and 3 that were raised as questions, and here again we're using an inverted triangle to answer each one of those points. Ulefiza, I'll see Shapir de la Maskona Zu lo nitzarech l'chalek bein lokeach ha'ilon l'lokeach mashret. Well, with this approach in mind, There's no distinction that needs to be made in a case of lokeach ilan, one who bought had a tree there first, and we said the tree man doesn't have to move at all. And in the case of so too, we explained that if you set up the mashre there first, and there was no dover hanizok in the vicinity, it too does not have to be moved. Ulahachi himtinami kedei lahavi masnisin de mashre, and with this in mind, we also understand why the brisa with mashre and yerek was brought in only at the end of the series of questions. Mishum de mino tzorech lachzor mikol shinu deleo, because only with this in mind, with the explanation we gave, do we then reverse from everything we had said earlier. In other words, this is we're using this case, the case of the Mashra and the Erek, as our, we'll say, jumping off point for reversing everything that had been said earlier. The Osi Nami Shapir, the Mairi Shesomach Nami Baal Dvorim Tchila Kamoshe Muchach Batei Sefta. And likewise, with this explanation, we understand very well why you can set up the Gemara with the Baal Dvorim being there first, just like the Tosefta indicated that the bees had been placed there first. I just want to refine this last point, and that is, in light of the fact that Rava essentially agrees with Abaye, and it's only in the case of the boar that there was a machlokes, but otherwise he essentially agrees with Abaye, and Tosfos indicated, with all of this in mind, we can explain explain Rava like we explained Abaye before. That's a reference to the beginning of the Tosis that we saw much earlier, Dibur Masla V'ilo, where Tosis presented Abaye and set up the case of the bees there first, etc., and so forth. That was all. You can look back there at the beginning of that Tosis where he had said, the Mairi Shesomach Baal Dvorim Tchila, etc., and so forth. And that's what he is referring to over here. Now we go back to the Tosis that's Michlal, but as we said, we're really going along the lines of the Bach. It's all really one long Tosfos. Michlal, the Sover of Yossi, and this is a reference to what we saw in the Gemara, five lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches Amit Beis. Where after maintaining the idea that the Rabbonon hold that the Mazik has to be Marchikas Atzmoy, so then it would appear that Rav Yossi holds that the Nizak has to, Rav Yossi, by virtue of the fact that he argues with Rabbonon, Rav Yossi would say that the Nizak has to be Marchikas Atzmoy, namely the Mazik doesn't have to move. And that's what that was conveyed by the words Rabbi Yossi Matir Bechardel. Tzorach lomar lepirush ze. The Maram points out that the pronoun pirush ze is a reference to the Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rabbeinu Chananel, again, we had made reference to him a number of times, that it was a reference to someone that bought the source of Nezek, having bought it from someone that had received the rights to have that Dovra Mazik in the vicinity of the Nizak. So Tosfos says that Tzorach Lomel appears that the Zeh HaMakshe, the one raising this question of Mechlal de Sovra Biosio and Nizak Lahachik, the Zeh HaMakshe Einoi Oise Shehiksha B'tchila, is not the same questioner, the same speaker, the same questioner as the top line of the Gemara, where it said the E lo somich hechi mishkachas law, where the Gemara had been introduced its kashan on Rava, saying that things work out well for Abaye, and with that we can understand Rabbi Yossi's explanation. So at that point, on the top line of the Gemara, where it had said v'i lo somech hechi mishkachas law, that questioner is not the same speaker as the one speaking here, who's saying mechlal de sor v'yosi al nizik lahachik. Daha ledidei, that first questioner, have nicho le la'abaye diomar somech. The source with Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon worked out well according to Abaye, that holds that the chardal can be placed at the border. V'lo have koshe le midi, and it didn't bother that makshe v'sovar Rabbi Yosi ala nizak v'chulei. Rabbi Yossi was Matir Bechardel. It didn't appear as a question to that first Maksha that, well, would Rabbi Yossi hold that the Nizak, namely the Dvorim, have to distance themselves. I think that before we continue in this Tosfos, it's important just to review that when we're making reference here to the Pirush of Rabbeinu Chananel, this is what we saw at the end of the last Tosfos, the Tosfos Dibur Masav Sovar, that Rava and Abaye both agree that if there's no victim in the immediate vicinity, that you can be soimech, and that the only machlokas Rava had with Abaye was with regard to the case of the boar. But outside of the case of the boar, Rava and Abaye can understand the machlokas Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi, and the way we explained Abaye at the beginning of Tosfos Dibur Masal V'i Vilo Somech, where Tosfos explained the Shita of the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi within Abaye, the same explanation would apply to Rava. So that there's, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, Rava has no difficulty understanding the position of the Rabbonon and of Rabbi Yossi as well, as was explained there. So with that background in mind, we let's read the Tosfos from the beginning. Tzorach lomar, the pirush zeh, the pirush of the Rabbeinu Chananel, the zeh hamakshe, the questioner at this point in the Gemara, five lines from the top, mechlaldus of Rabbi Yossi, that makshe, einoi oise shehikshe betchila ve'ilo somech hechi mishkachas la, the opening line, the top line where the Gemara was directing its question on Rava, who had maintained that you're not allowed to be Samech, when we saw in the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, someone had to have been Samech to the Meitzar. This Makshe, is not the same as that opening, Makshe. The Hall Ledidei, according to the first Makshe, Havanichole LaAbaye, the Omar Somech, Abaye had no difficulty understanding the Machlokes Rab Yossi and the Rabbanan, because of through Abaye's position that you're allowed to be Somech. And with that, we were able to understand how the Rabbi Yossi's position of Rabbi Yossi Mata Bechargel could easily be understood, because the Baal HaDvorim was Somech. And according to Rabbeinu Chananel, Rava also accepted that approach. V'lo havikoshele midi, there would have been no question to that Manda Omar of that which is asked here on the fifth line. V'savar Rabbi Yossi al hanizak v'chule, would Rabbi Yossi hold that the nizak is the one that has to move, namely like the Dvorim would have to move to protect themselves? That was already, that was easily understood by the first Makshan. V'tzorach lomar shehamakshe harishon haviyoda shapir hamaskona, and Tosfos adds here that the first questioner, namely the top line of the Gemara, knew the maskona, the dvorim lechardol lo mazgi lerabonon, that the dvorim don't affect the chardol according to the rabonon. And my understanding here is, and that's why the rabonon were of the opinion that the chardol has to move, because the dvorim are clearly the victim. Avol hamakshe hazeh lo yoda. This makshe, namely the makshe of the fifth line of the Gemara, who said mechlal de Rabbi Yossi sover, that he is not aware that of that maskona, that dvorim are clearly the nizak. Lahochi porich, and that's why he raised the question, Michlal, Desova, Rabbi Yossi, v'chulei. Is it so then that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Nizak has to move? V'hiksha, and Tosfos here explains that point, elaborates. Kevon de la Rabbonon, Choshev Baal, Dvorim, Nizak, v'lo Mazik. Since the Rabbonon hold that the Dvorim are viewed as the victim and not the aggressor, shematzrichin lebal chardol laharchik, they require the chardol, who is the, we'll say, the clear mazik, to distance himself. Afal gav shehem mazikin lechardol, even though they, the dvorim, are mazik the chardol. Mikol mokon kevon de somach beheter, since the dvorim were there at the outset, at the beginning, lo choshev mazik, they're not considered the mazik. Notice this makshan is viewing the dvorim as a nizak in halachic terms, as a result of a halachic category, and not as the result of some of an objective biological phenomenon. And so, just reading the last few words again, Mikomokom came unto Somach Beheter, regarding the Dvorim, since they were positioned on the Meitzar when there was no one else around, when the neighbor didn't have any Chardol, he's not considered Lo Choshev Mazik, the Al Baal Chardol Laharchik, and therefore the Tanakama, the Rabbonon hold, the Chardol has to distance himself. In Cain, Gam the Rabbi Yossi Choshev Nizak, it would then follow that according to Rabbi Yossi, also the Dvorim are considered the Nizak, and Afilu Hachi Mutur Lismoich Lebal Achardol, and even so, it's Mutur for the Balachardal to be on the same border. Now, from the fact that Reb Yossi is Matir Bachardal, in Cain, Sovar Dal Hanizak Laharchik Es Atzmo. And that's what gave rise for the Gemara to think that then it must be that Reb Yossi holds that the Nizak, namely the Dvorim, have to distance themselves. Ihochi Afilu Mashre V'Yerek Nami Cain, and that's what gave rise to the continuation of the Gemara. Once you establish that Reb Yossi holds that the Nizak has to distance himself, so then he should have said the same thing by the case of Mashre V'Yerek, that the Yerek has to distance himself, the Yerek being the victim. And yet in the source we don't see that Reb Yossi disagrees, and he seems to say there that the Mashre has to distance himself. We have two lines in brackets. If we just skip the brackets momentarily, Umeshani li'oilom Reb Yossi al hamazik svirolei. The Reb Yossi was matir b'chardol really holds that the mazik has to distance himself, and that's why he doesn't disagree in the case of the mashre. And what about in the chardol and the dvorim? V'choshiv Baal Dvorim Mazik Afagav Shesomach Beheter, and we'll get back to that in a moment. Let's go back to the skipped two lines. The question that we saw right before the brackets is that it would appear then that Reb Yossi will also agree that the Dvorim are Anizak. And still, he's saying the chardol can be at the border. It must be then that if you're going to allow the chardol to be at the border, and the dvorim are the nizak, it must be that the nizak has to be marchik himself. And if that's an accurate conclusion, so we said ihochi afilu mashav yerek nami kein. Now in the brackets, the ein svora, it's not likely, it's not logical to think that Reb Yossi choshev baal dvorim mazik, that Reb Yossi would call the dvorim, would look at the dvorim as a mazik, af api shesomach beheter, even though he was dvorim were there beheter mishum, and why would he call them the mazik mishum shosik tachuloika again? Because the owner of the bees did something partially incorrect in positioning the bees there, so he's imposing a restriction on the neighbor who would eventually want to plant chardol. Ularabonon les lehu hai svara, and then the rabbonon would not hold from that svara. Rather, according to the rabbonon, since the dvorim were there first, you can't call them mazik whatsoever. The ein svara klau le flugin hu bahi. It's simply not reasonable. It's not logical to say that Reb Yossi and the rabbonon are arguing over that, namely how to categorize the dvorim, where Reb Yossi would categorize the dvorim as a mazik, even though they were there beheter, but that's because of their imposing restrictions on the baal hachardol, and the rabbonon would not hold from that, but would view them as straightforward nizak. So therefore the Tosfos says that Reb Yossi and the Rabbonon agree that the Dvorim are to be considered the Nizak. And even so, we saw Reb Yossi saying Matir B'chardol. That would indicate that the Dvorim, which are the Nizak, has to distance themselves. Umeshani le'oilom Reb Yossi ala mazik srile. And to that, we saw in the Gemara that Reb Yossi was Matir B'chardol, really holds that the mazik is the one that has to distance himself, and therefore he's not he doesn't argue in the case of Mashre. V'choshiv Baal Dvorim Mazik. When Rabbi Yossi, we said Rabbi Yossi Matir B'chardo, he, Rabbi Yossi, would categorize the Dvorim as a Mazik. Avagav Shesomach Beheter. Even though they were there in a permitted fashion, Kevon Shosuk Sas Shiloka Hogan B'simichoso, since their appearance on the border was partially improper, as we explained already numerous times, because that imposes a restriction on the second fellow in planting chardel. Rabbonon nami havu modu le b'hach svara. The Rabbonon would have agreed with that analysis. I havu savri the dvorim mazgi l'chardel. If in realistic terms, bees imposed a danger to the chardel, the Rabbonon would agree with would have agreed with Rabbi Yossi. Ela the Sfirule, the Rabbonon who say that the Baal HaChardel must distance himself, is because they hold the Dvorim lo maski l'chardel. The Dvorim don't impose any damage on the chardel. In objective terms, don't impose any damage on the chardel. Ulekach marchik Baal HaChardel, and therefore, since you're dealing with a clear victim, namely the bees, therefore the obligation of distancing is upon the Baal HaChardel. Ukemaskona zu yesh leforesh tchilas hasugyo ledivrei hamakshi deporech v'lo somech hechi mishkachas lo. And with this, we'll say with this conclusion, namely that Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan are arguing over this last point, we are to take this analysis and explain the beginning of the sukya, the Maksha who said V'ilo somech hechi mishkachas lo, the Bishlama I somech pligi kemaskinon hashta. If you say like Abaye that you can be somech, we would be able to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon, as we have just explained. The lo kamo shepirish lepirish hakuntris sheyachliku boze, and not like Rashi explained that the machlokes is as follows: the Rabbonon havu dvorim kamo yerek kevon shenismuchu beheter. Afagav shegam hey mazikin lechadol kishyovo. The Rashi explanation of the Rabbonon that the Dvorim are like the Yerek in the Mashre case, that namely that the Dvorim are a Nizak. Why? Because they were the first ones to appear on the border. They appeared beheter, even though the Dvorim themselves are eventually mazik the chardel when it grows. And in that sense, they're not like the Yerek. But I want to emphasize here that statement is not like the maskona that we reached according to Rabbeinu Hananel, namely that according to Rabbeinu Hananel, the Dvorim are not mazik the chardel whatsoever. Rav Yossi matir lismo hachardol mitnei she baal advorim also ksashlo kohogen. And Rav Yossi's din of matir b'chardol, according to the Rashi, because the initial appearance of the dvorim themselves there was shalokog and was partially improper, as we said before, that would impose a restriction on the eventual development of the chardel in their proximity. Now, before we conclude, let me just remind you that if one comes away from this discussion with a sense of lack of clarity, that's quite understandable. And to remedy that, or partially remedy that, we once again remind you to look at the Maharam on the Sugya of Harnal. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.